B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
All right, welcome in to the show. We'll get it all lined up for you here. Let Dan send out the tweet to the masses. If you follow me on Twitter, at Joey Murr. He is at Dan Lifshitz on Twitter. We see the people coming in. So just so you know, the shows are on Periscope, Twitter, and also YouTube. I didn't realize YouTube was a really big platform for this, Dan. We've been doing it on Twitter. Last year, we just did it on without live. This year, we're doing it live. It's just easier.
Yep.
But whatever. So, long story short, we're on YouTube, and everything saves there, and it saves on our page, and it's on the 98.5 Sports Hub page as well. So, somebody already tweets it. First one. Is that a noise when someone, or is that your phone?
No, that was my work phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say somebody checks in already. There are some weird ass lines this week. Yes, there are.
Yes, there are.
Joey Braggs. Let's get some winners, baby. Love the Murray State shirt. Long story behind that. But yes, I just got it as a gift from the wifey. So thank you, wifey, nice. For the gift. So anyways, Dan, we have a long show today because there's Pac-12. There's a lot going on. The schedule is getting longer, and we've been bleeding these shows late. And you know, I'd love to do more NFL. It's just there's so many college games. So let's just get into it. People are still recovering from the action last night.
Yeah, that was crazy. Just
if I may just say one thing. Please. So I was on Ball State, which lost. And they were up 20. It was incredible. That interception was so bad. Was so bad at the end there. But you have to tip your cap to Miami of Ohio. Like, you really do. You know, the quarterback there is Gabbard's brother, like this star. He goes down and the backup comes in and was incredible. I mean, legitimately incredible. I think Ball State's a legit team. Like, if we're going to look at bets, dude, and then Central Michigan's a wagon offensively. So I'm glad we got to look at all the teams because Akron's Akron, right? Akron's Akron. Western Michigan puts up points, so we know that, right? Central Michigan's going to be good, and Ohio is – going through a stretch here where they're going, they lose Rourke, they're bringing his brother, they got a kid from UNLV. And then all the kickers suck. All the kickers suck. Kent State still got Crum, but like Eastern Michigan can still hang around. If you watched every game last night, you at least got some sort of idea of who's who. Northern Illinois, not good defensively. Buffalo's probably the cream of the crop. So I'm glad we got to watch every game last night because I think we have a good feel of at least what Maxim will be going forward. Maybe we get that with the Pac-12 coming in this week as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised the poor defense that Buffalo played, giving up 30 points to a Northern Illinois team who offensively, with Ross Bowers obviously returning at quarterback, I was surprised by that. I thought Buffalo would play better defensively. I'm not surprised by their offensive output. Jared Patterson's a stud running back for them, and he was super impressive. I texted you yesterday, and I said I like two teams. I like Central Michigan and Miami, Ohio. They both covered. I'm kicking myself, especially for not taking Central Michigan. I really like that one. I got scared off because it was definitely not the sharp side. The sharp side was Ohio in that one, for sure. Same with Ball State. Ball State was the sharp side of Miami, Ohio. I sprinkled Central Michigan and Miami, Ohio. I thought those are the two better teams. Miami, Ohio, as you said, backup quarterback came in, played very well. I thought defensively they were fantastic in the second half, you know, as well. And I think obviously we're going to see Toledo, and you kind of said Western Michigan. I think Toledo is going to be part of that cream of the crop in the MAC as well. Akron and Bowling Green are going to be horrendous. I think that those are teams you have to look to fade probably, you know, almost every week. Eastern Michigan didn't win but got the cover. So Chris Creighton and his team, you know, did well. Preston Hutchinson was impressive to me. I know that he was not elite. And then they had that kid, Hassan Beydoun, I think is his name. He was really, really fucking good last night. So, listen, I think that, you know, Mac was a nice introduction yesterday. I think we're going to kind of get into it, obviously, going further. I didn't want to give out too much yesterday because I didn't feel like I knew, you know, knew the teams very well. I feel like I know them better. So I kind of feel comfortable moving forward and then we'll see.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens there.
That's exactly my take on it. Good feel all in one night. We will have, I have a pick on the Nevada game tonight. Nevada takes on Utah State. And what else? We have Wyoming and
Colorado State.
We saw Wyoming against Hawaii a week ago. We saw Colorado State just have nothing offensively in Steve Adazio's debut there. So those two games tonight. And then the NFL game, I'm waiting a little bit, Dan. Kickoff's what, 8:20? So when will the inactives come out? 7?
They'll be out probably in the next hour or so.
All right. I'm just waiting on the inactives for a little bit, so... Well, I at least have a pick on Nevada on the Nevada game. Excuse me.
It does sound like Alan Lazard's not being activated for Green Bay. He'll probably return next week. It sounds like I can't remember who else is questionable tonight.
And the running back from Green Bay.
Yes. So yeah, so it sounds like he's going to play as well. You know. So I mean, Aaron Jones. Green Bay is going to be the healthier of the two teams. Green Bay will at least have a running back who can, you know, kind of play. And, you know, we're going to be looking at a Nick Mullins-led 49ers team without wide receivers. But we'll get into that.
Yep. So I say we start with the Friday night slate.
Okay.
And we get right into it at a 7:30 game. It's Miami goes to NC State. Miami's 5-1, led by Derek King. I believe... the lefty's still at quarterback for NC State. So off the bat, Dan, just
that's correct.
Not breaking it down. Off the bat, over 58.5 looks like a play for me. Both these teams can score. Unless the Miami defense, you know, is what it is. Just off the bat, 58 looks like a good number to go over. But do they pack the box in and shut down Knight and make him throw and et cetera, go from there? King's the real deal. You know, Miami wasn't impressive last week, but they've continued to win. They're 4-1 in the ACC. Only loss, of course, is Clemson. Line's 10.5. I bet you it moves a little bit, you know, upwards. But I think Miami wins this game. I would probably bet it at 10. If it's 10, and I NC State has been impressive this year, but I think that quarterback getting hurt, going to the lefty, I think it changes everything.
Yeah, this is a game I'm probably going to avoid, Joe. The way I view this is Miami's defense has played significantly better the past 2 weeks. They, you know, they played very well versus Pitt. Now, granted, that was against their backup quarterback, but they followed up with a very strong performance against Virginia last week. Didn't cover that game, but they ended up winning 19-14. This is their the first of back-to-back roadies. So, you know, I'm looking that if Miami maybe wins this week, it's a potential fade versus Virginia Tech or vice versa. I am going to be paying attention to that situation for Miami. To me, Bailey Hawkman, again, he struggled against UNC, but he's looked good, you know, throughout the remainder, you know, the other part of the season where he's actually played. I do think that, you know, NC State will show up. The line opened at 8.5, Joe. It's up to 10.5, as you kind of mentioned now. And I do think that we're going to see that go higher, probably close around the 11.5 mark. But to me, it's just this is a game that I can see it going both ways because I can see Hawkman having a really good night and, you know, NC State really challenging Miami, especially in Raleigh. And, you know, I can also see Derek King, you know, kind of, you know, lighting it up. So this is a game I think I'm going to avoid and, you know, maybe watch part of because it's the early Friday night game.
I agree. I think there's other money on the table here. I think there's a bigger game later on. But just for my sake, Miami, this is now three road games in a four-game span, as you mentioned. NC State, they'll be what? It's they'll be 4-5 now at home. And obviously had that big win last week. Hockman hasn't been good, man. 531 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's been sacked 7 times. You mentioned the Miami defense has been better. You know, they run that 3-3-5, which is a little different defensive look. I've watched NC State. They've impressed me. I just think Miami's the better team here. You know, the number's probably right. I think 10's right. The last time they played, which is a long time ago, Miami 27-13. I don't think it will be that kind of game, but thinking about, like I said, I saw the number 58, and I immediately thought over, but the way that Hockman's playing, I don't know, maybe just that style, 27-13, what's that, 23, I don't know, maybe my immediate thought of over 58 might be overinflated. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm interested also to see just the Friday slate in general. Last week, not a single favorite covered during the Friday night slate. 0-3 for the favorites. The week before, favorites were 3-0. If you don't count the FCS Jacksonville game, if you do, they were 3-1. Jacksonville State obviously won that game outright. They were a 10-point dog. So, you know, I think what we have seen in these Friday night slates are, you know, slates have been, the public has been getting slayed a little bit. Big public sides have gone down. And, you know, Miami is going to be a big public side tomorrow. So I do caution that Friday nights have been, you know, pretty brutal, you know, for the general betting public. And so just, you know, be careful, you know, don't dive into Miami, San Diego State, and BYU tomorrow. Because I'm telling you that that would not be profitable.
All right, Mountain West, a couple of foes can go at it. San Jose State, San Diego State, Spartans hit the road for the first time this year. You know, obviously, San Diego State is what, 3 games, first 4 weeks. We obviously know that San Jose State opened with that 17-6 win over Air Force, and then they beat New Mexico 38-21 last week. San Diego, who's looked good, I actually watched them against UNLV. They rolled them. And then Utah State, obviously, by 28 points. So I watched both those games.
We talked about that one last week, too. I thought they were going to kill you, Utah State.
San Diego State's good. And again, San Jose State had that, you know, impressive win. Just the way I look at this one, San Diego State, I think, has the better defense here, the reputation, the running game. They've won 7 straight in the series. I don't see anything changing here. I see it being competitive and then San Diego State running away with it. What's the line right now? It is
9.5. Has not moved all week. It's been sitting at 9.5 here.
I think they can cover, but again, you mentioned the Friday trends. And then what is the total on this one as well?
48.
Yeah. So I lean over on this game right away.
Okay, I unfortunately completely disagree with you about pretty much everything in the aspects of this game, which is good. We like a little bit of disagreement, and you know, on this podcast, can't always agree. To me, San Jose State, you know, was really, really impressive versus Air Force, and Air Force, you know, was really bad in that game. Now, I will say San Jose State last week was not great against New Mexico, and I think they were probably looking ahead to this San Diego State game. New Mexico is not exactly a juggernaut. To me, San Diego State, you know, faced probably one of the worst teams in the Mountain West in UNLV and just shellacked them. And the Utah State game is a revenge game, you know, almost a rivalry. San Diego State and Utah State, when they played each other, it has been dirty. It has been mean. And to me, that was just a game that San Diego State put together a fantastic game plan. You saw the spread. People were all over Utah State. I thought it was a perfect spot to take San Diego State. I think now we're going to take a look at San Diego State's previous two results and kind of, you know, say, well, this team is now elite offensively compared to what they were last year, and they're obviously continuing to be elite defensively. I do think that we're looking at a team here that probably their offensive output is being overrated right now. Especially against a team like UNLV and Utah State, who really is, I'm telling you, they're good. They're going to be down this year. And San Diego State, San Jose State, I think you're going to see, a good offensive game plan. They're led by Nick Starkel, who's the former Arkansas quarterback. Joe, you definitely watched him in Arkansas. He was not good at times, and he was great at others. Had moments of brilliance and moments of disaster. Kind of reminded me of Guantanamo Bay in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I think that what we're going to see at San Jose State is, San Jose State is that I think they're going to cover this 10. I think this is going to be within a touchdown or a touchdown type game. I don't love it. This is not going to be a PP for me, but I do think San Jose State is going to keep this one close. San Diego State has not faced a team near this level yet, so we're going to see kind of an uptick in level play. And I think San Jose State definitely looked ahead to New Mexico. In terms of the total, I'm going to lean under here. I do think that, again, we look at an elite San Diego State defense, and San Jose State's offense is probably more the 17-6 type offense instead of the 38-21 type. And I expect San Diego State's offense of output to kind of go down. So I do expect more of a under, maybe like a 24-20 type game, 27-20 type game. So I'm going to lean under. I'm not giving it out as a PP yet, but it's certainly something I'm going to look over and into tomorrow night, especially if I can get maybe a 49.5 if the total keeps rising. That key number would might be important to me.
All right, stay tuned to Twitter on those ones. Just an announcement. People have been checking in. Hey, I just put a banner up. Thursday picks coming soon, so just bear with us. We got to get through every game. The Friday night slate, hey, these are three good games. Miami should dominate, I think, but we'll see, right? They're on the road, and road dogs are enjoyable to watch. The San Jose State, San Diego State, this has been like a good little rivalry here over the last couple of years, but again, San Diego State has come away with it, and maybe the way San Jose State's playing, they have a lot of confidence. The big one is BYU Boise State. I'll admit, I'm impressed with Boise State this year so far. I have five PPs on today's podcast, and I'm PPing BYU minus – I have minus three, Dan, is what I have it at.
Okay, yeah, it's at 3.5 now, and for the first time all year – so, Joe, you gave out BYU minus three?
Yeah, let me just – because I want to double-check the line – UC 3.5.
We're using Bookmaker, which is what we use now. It's 3.5 minus 105 for BYU and plus 3.5 minus 111 for Boise State.
Okay. I'm going to go 3.5 then. I'm going to personally buy the hook, but I like, forget it. BYU 3.5. I'll forget buying the hook.
So that's a PP for Joe. First time this year, I think, on the college podcast that we are going to be disagreeing in PPs. Give me PP Boise State plus 3.5.
I've given my reasons why. I mean, I just think their defense is very good. I'm going to stand behind the BYU defense. We know offensively what they can do. I think last week they definitely pumped the brakes against Western Kentucky second half. Now, Zach Wilson did throw a lazy interception in that game, but I just think in general, he's climbing up the first round quarterback rankings here. I know Boise's played well. I know they have. And they're at home, which is great, right? But for me, like, I just think BYU, I projected them to be a New Year's 16. So I'm not fading that. Nothing has thrown me off. I know the last meeting between these two teams, Brigham Young won. BYU won last year, 28-25. Remember, Zach Wilson had that unbelievable comeback. So, like, the more I look at this, Dan, I'm not going against it. I love what BYU has been doing offensively, and I think their defense should be able to slow Boise down. So that's my reasoning.
Yeah, so my reasoning, you know, to me, you know, we already seen comments from guys like John, Boise State didn't look great versus Air Force. Well, they had their backup quarterback, you know, and to me it was, you know, very simple that Boise State's backup quarterback came in and they absolutely shellacked Air Force on the road. And that was a game that Air Force overlooked, was prepared for, ready for. Boise State came in with a potential look ahead to BYU, which is, you know, a big reason I was on Air Force last week, and still kicked the ever living shit out of you, out of Air Force. So if you don't think that they look good last week, I don't know what to tell you. I thought they were fantastic last week with a backup quarterback off the road in a look ahead spot. I mean, there is just, to me, that was the ultimate horrible position for Boise, and they still covered, ran away, played very good offense. Defensively, they were shaky at times, but second half, they were elite. Again, I go back to BYU's competition. Who have they played this year? Who have they played? Well, they played Navy. That's a good win. The Troy win looks better. Troy has been bouncing back and playing better. So I'm going to give that one a pretty good win. La Tech looks horrible. UTSA, again, I think is one of the most overrated over 500 teams in the country. We saw FAU beat them down last week. I think in a good fade spot. I think UTSA might be another good fade this week. Houston, outside of one quarter of that game, BYU was dominated the entire game. You know, through three quarters, BYU was getting the shit kicked out of them. I thought that they were the worst of the two teams. Clayton, too, and had turnovers, and they were still beating them. I think BYU was up 14-3. Sorry, you know, I should say BYU dominated that first quarter because I think they were up 14-3. And then Houston just dominated the second and third quarter. It wasn't close, in my opinion. And 17-0 in that second quarter just demoralized BYU and were really leading that game until they fell apart in the fourth quarter. Now, we're going to find out this week, Joe, what that means for BYU. Is it that they're just a really, really good team? Or is it that Boise State is – or is that the Houston just can't close and just, you know, they don't have the – they didn't have the horses to close. Everyone's going to be on BYU this week. Everyone. Their last three games, again, their last two games, Texas State and Western Kentucky, not exactly two teams that scare you. You, again, I look at BYU's resume. They have played almost nobody. Nobody. Now, they look good,
now,
too.
Now, I just want to defend them. It's not their fault. They had opted out. And that's my reasoning for them being a New Year's Six team. I think they can run the table. Now, they will have to beat San Diego State as well to do so, but if they run the table, they're in the top six, if you ask me. That's why I just feel like this is a – and I just want to bring one other thing up. 2 years ago, Zach Wilson went into BYU. Zach Wilson committed to Boise and then pulled out. They're pissed about that still. There was 21-16 loss. They had a chance to win it, and he got sacked on the two-yard line. I'm telling you, I know he struggled there, and it was only his appearance there. They lost 21. They've been in every single game in the series and obviously winning last year. I'm riding BYU here. If you want to fade it, that's fine. Listen, the line's three. Is that right? Should that be right?
No. Boise State opened as the favorite, and that's what the line should be. I would make this line Boise State -2.5 if you're asking me to set it. At home, do you know what Boise State's last loss at home was?
I don't know.
It was something like
three. Was it Hawaii? Years. No.
I believe it was Hawaii like 2 or 3 years ago. Something ridiculous like that. And their last loss to a ranked team at home was like, I think it was a Power 5 team. I remember looking this up yesterday. It was a Power 5 team over 5 years ago. Boise State at home has been a wagon. And here's the other thing. You're talking about BYU being a potential Final Six team. What about Boise State? After BYU, their schedule is Colorado State, at Hawaii, San Jose State, at UNLV, at Wyoming. You're talking about maybe a tough road game at Hawaii and a tough road game at Wyoming.
It was Virginia 2017.
There you go. So Virginia 2017 was their last home loss. I mean, you know, we're talking about a Boise State team that has been dominant at home. And in my opinion, Boise State has a better schedule. And if they run the conference, they have a better shot of getting into the Final Six than BYU does, because BYU the three best teams are Houston, Boise, and San Diego State. Boise will at least have Air Force, BYU, Hawaii, Wyoming. You'll get a legitimate, you know, full schedule slate in the Mountain West. I think that these teams are super, super similar. And I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take the team that I think should be giving points, that's getting points. And I think BYU is a little bit overrated because they just haven't played anyone who can kind of live it up to them. And the one team that did, Houston, they punched him in the mouth in the fourth quarter. But before that, it was rough. So I will not be upset if people want to take BYU. I totally understand why you're taking BYU, Joe. I think you can make an argument for both teams. I just think this is what Boise State has been waiting for. And this at home field, getting, you know, a score and a half, I'm going to take it. Got to take it.
Okay. Moving on to Saturday's games. Out of fairness, Dan, I think we should save any Pac-12 discussion for our Saturday show, unless you have something.
We can do a quick synopsis.
Because USC, we just talked about teams that can run the table. USC is playing; their schedule is not strong, but they legitimately have a chance to run the table and be a New Year's 16.
Yeah, their schedule is maybe the worst that it's ever been in the Pac-12.
They'll have to get past Arizona State, who's been improved under Herm Edwards. They have they're 10.5 right now. The line is 56. I don't have much. The one thing I can tell you though is the USC quarterback last year, the kid was really impressive. Remember he was like the third stringer, came in. They had
I'm trying to remember who was the quarterback.
Why can't I remember his name right now? I'm trying to.
Slovis. You're talking about USC, yeah, Slovis. Okay.
I think Slovis is really good. Like Daniels got hurt, Slovis came in, boom. I think he's really good. But we'll see. I mean, you know, what Herm Edwards has been able to do, their defense has been much better. USC won 31-26 last year. USC scored 28 points. Both teams, yeah. So USC won 38-26. In the last meeting, early lean, I like USC, but you know, I'm not, I don't have, I need more.
Yeah, I agree. Let's not forget, do you know who the Arizona State, I guess it's co-defensive coordinator. Do you know who their defensive coordinator is, Joe?
Ooh, I don't.
Marvin Lewis.
Oh yeah.
Herm Edwards and Marvin Lewis coaching.
Yeah. They got the old New Mexico coach as their defensive coordinator, I think too.
If you have Marvin Lewis on your team, I'm fucking fading. honestly, I'm fading the Arizona coaches. I just think 9 a.m. It's a 9 a.m. game. For the West Coast.
Yeah, and I apologize. Danny Gonzalez was the defensive coordinator last year. He's now the head coach at New Mexico. I apologize.
Yeah, so 9 a.m. West Coast game for USC. I can't believe the Pac-12 was making them play at 9 a.m., but nonetheless, if you're going to ask me, two teams that are going to be tired with no fans waking up early, I think it's supposed to rain. It's going to be colder out there. I just think that the talent is going to win out. I'll take USC. And again, looking at USC's schedule really quickly, Joe, it's bad. I mean, really. Home versus Arizona State at Arizona. This is the one game they get tripped up, I think, maybe potentially at Utah. But again, Utah lost a lot. And then we have a home versus Colorado, home versus Washington State, and at UCLA. So, you know, the at Arizona at Utah might be tough, to back-to-back road games. We've talked about that angle before. Doesn't necessarily work in COVID. But just in general, that schedule was made for USC to basically go undefeated and still have a few decent-looking wins on their resume. That's the way I look at their schedule.
Okay. Big 12, West Virginia goes to Texas. Texas, a two-game winning streak. Looking pretty good there. They got a hell of a kick returner on their team. That's what opened up that game last week. West Virginia, we talked about their defense, 10th in the country in rushing defense. Texas beats Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State defense is very good. I actually want to like tip my cap because they just, it was their turnovers. If they didn't turn the football over, they beat Texas handily. You know, Texas ranks eighth in offense. You got, I mean, this is going to be an offense versus defensive game. The only thing I'll say, Dan, here is I bet this game last year in Texas rolled at West Virginia, 42-31. I like Texas again in this spot. What do we got for a line here?
Yeah, they are minus 6.5 now, Joe. And let me get you that updated total if I can find it. The total is 54. This is a really interesting spot because West Virginia is coming off that big win against Kansas State. Now, we talked about that game last week, and I told you that was the sharpest spot on the board. Every sharp was on, you know, West Virginia, 3.5, 4.5, 5.5. They were doubling up, tripling up. That was just a gargantuan sharp spot last week. You know, and I think Texas was pretty sharp too. This week, I think, you know, West Virginia, they're going to get up for a second game in a row after beating K-State at home. And in Texas, you know, huge win versus Oklahoma State on the road. Is this a letdown game for them? I mean, it opened at 7. It's down to 6.5. This is a game I'm going to avoid, Joe. But if you're making me pick, again, I do agree with you. I think I have to go Texas because of how they played the last few games. I know Baylor's not, you know, stupendous in the Big 12. I think they're actually very down this year. But still, good win. You know, then we get against Charlie Brewer and we gave up 16 points to that Baylor team. And then they, you know, that Texas offense was awesome at Oklahoma State last week. So I think you have to roll that way if you want to bet this game. But this is a game I'm going to stay away from because I think there's too many, just bad spots in this game.
What's the total?
Total is, 54.
West Virginia. Oh, wow. Oh my God. I lean over already.
It opened at 58, now down to 54.
Okay. Only thing is West Virginia's won 4 of the last 5 in Austin. So,
wow, okay.
Keep that in mind. Michigan State goes to Iowa. Oh, man, I don't know how to pick this one. Iowa's 0-2, got off to that fast start last week, and then right down the tubes. Listen, you beat Michigan, dude. That's impressive. I don't care how bad you looked the week before. You know, Iowa's two losses have been bad. They haven't been good by any means. The last time they've lost their first two games is in 2000. They play close games here. I don't know why I feel this way, Dan, but I think Iowa, in like desperation mode, wins this game. I just don't know about a cover.
Yeah, to me, I think this is an Iowa or nothing spot and something I'll probably revisit Saturday. You got Sparty, who probably is not as bad as they were versus Rutgers and not as good as they were versus Michigan. So I think you're looking for a team that's probably in between those two. Michigan State obviously overlooked Rutgers for that Michigan game. And, you know, Michigan probably didn't take them very seriously. 24-point dogs, and they closed at 21.5. And Iowa, again, two bad losses. I mean, the Purdue one, at least I understand on the road. The Northwestern game at home, you need to win that game. That's just a bad loss, and especially when you were up in that game. Here's the thing. Michigan State on their second of the back-to-back roadies, Joe. So this would be a normal spot I would look to fade Michigan State. Here, I think that right now you're buying low on Iowa and buying high in Michigan State, especially if you want to take Michigan State this week. I know Michigan State's going to be a very trendy dog because coming off their victory against Michigan, this is a massive letdown spot, especially against an 0-2 Iowa team who just blew a game last week. To me, this is the perfect buy low, sell high spot and on Iowa. It's still at 7, Joe, on most books. So if you can get a 6.5, it actually did just dip the 6.5 about 25 minutes before the podcast started. So I do think the Iowa minus 6.5 is going to be the side that you probably have to take if you want to back a side in this one. Also, the total in this one to me is 45.5. I think you got to go under. I think you got to correlate the under and Iowa here. So I do like both those sides, and we'll talk about it. But I think that Iowa is the buy low spot against the sell high Michigan State team coming off that big win.
Indiana, Michigan. I'll give you one. Indiana hasn't beaten Michigan since 1987. Now, two of the last three, though, have gone to overtime, if you remember here.
I don't.
In the series. Harbaugh's job's on the line. It's on the line. Let's face it. And Indiana's off to its best start since whenever, what, the 90s. I mean, Indiana won this game 39-14, dude. Like, I can't see Michigan losing two in a row, but there's something about this Indiana team.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan probably overlooked Michigan State to the Indiana game. I guess they were worried after they beat Penn State, and I guess it's possible that they overlooked one of their rivals, and it is surprising that they would do that, and they were terrible last week. I don't know what really type of Michigan team this is yet. How bad is Minnesota? How fucking bad is Minnesota when you get when you lose to Maryland, and probably should have lost Maryland by a lot more if not for just some atrocious refereeing. Indiana, really, really good win against Penn State. And, they covered against Rutgers last week. You know, Indiana is a very impressive start to the season. I think this is a game I'm going to just stay away from completely because I don't know what to expect out of this Michigan team just yet. I don't know how good they are. I don't know how bad they are. That Minnesota win looks pretty pedestrian right now. And that Michigan State loss, it looks, that's a bad one, especially to your rival at home. So I'm going to stay away. I just don't know what to expect out of this Michigan team right now. And, that spread's 3 now. If this was 3.5, maybe you could find a way to take Indiana. But 3, I don't think you can. There's much value there. I think the spread is kind of settled. Total that one, by the way, Joe, 54.5.
Wow. That's going to be a highly bet game. I feel like a lot of money is going to come in on Michigan there.
Yeah, 61% of the bet and 57% of the money are currently on Michigan at this time, including, and again, this is super early in the week, so it doesn't mean a ton, but 71% of the bet on the total is on the over. A lot of money being bet on that over, even though the total has dropped from 55 to 54.5. So,
two ranked teams, noontime favorite. I mean, home dog. Ooh, man, that's a nice spot. All right, Tulane, East Carolina. East Carolina is a home dog here, getting 5. We know what Tulane is. 1 week they're good, 1 week they're bad. East Carolina's played better, but they're 0-2 at home so far this year, and Tulane's 2-2 on the road. Against the spread, Tulane's been the better team. Total opened at 64, now down to 60. East Carolina had a devastating loss last week.
Probably one of the worst ref games I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
The final drive, and again, I think we talked about this. I know you didn't see it live. They called a fumble that was a clear fumble. Then they reversed it and said it wasn't a fumble. A pass interference that clearly was not a pass interference. And they called a catch of the ball. It clearly hit the ground. It was the rigging of all riggings. The American Conference came out and apologized to East Carolina, saying that they should have won the game. And that, that basically Tulsa's win shouldn't have counted and that East Carolina should be 2-3. So I think you're buying low on these East Carolina team, especially at 5, Joe. Tulane's coming off their best game of the year. Without a doubt, they kicked the shit out of Temple, 38-3. Temple looks worse every week. I mean, really, this team is – I think you might need to put them in the trash bin because they're just not a good team. And Tulane, the previous 3 weeks of that faced decent competition. Houston, SMU, and USF – and sorry, UCF and outside the SMU game, they really were not competitive. And I just think that ECU is the side here. I'm not going to PP this one, but it's something I'm going to revisit on Saturday. The problem is they face They are on the road at Cincinnati next Friday. So it's going to be a little bit of a short week on the look ahead spot. And that is a little bit concerning, which is why I'm probably not going to end up PPing it. But it is one I'm going to revisit on Saturday and see if I can muster the sack to play it.
Just doing these games week in and week out and discussing them, the kid Pratt for Tulane has been impressive.
He's
and
good.
He's really gotten that game going, which is a here. I might, you know, that might be a play. Open to 3 to 5. Let's circle that. We'll talk about it later.
Again, Eastern Carolina should beat Tulsa on the road last week. I mean, again, and you've seen what Tulsa can do. So that's a good Tulsa team.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. What do we have? We have UNC. Duke. Out on UNC. I lost them last week as a PP, so I'm done with them. I don't care. I think they're done now. They're no longer a competitive team for me. Duke, did they beat Charlotte? Yeah, they beat Charlotte.
Yeah.
Nothing. I got nothing here. Normally, Duke should destroy. UNC should destroy Duke. Sorry. Done. On my list. Done.
I don't know what to make of UNC, man. They're back and forth, up and down. They look good versus NC State. They look terrible versus Virginia. They lose on the road to Florida State. This North Carolina team just doesn't have the consistency, to be a top 25, top team. Again, Duke coming off their best game of the year, Charlotte, 53-19. I mean, that is an ass kicking, of a decent Charlotte team. So I'm going to stay away from this one as well, Joe. The 10.5 does have me scared that we're going to end up seeing, a big bounce back W for North Carolina, but I'm going to stay off of it. 62.5 is the total. And actually, just before my eyes, North Carolina moved to -11. So they are now 11-point favorite over Duke.
Yep. Out on that game. Don't care. Georgia Southern is the other one here. They host UL Monroe. UL Monroe's 0-7. Does Georgia Southern win by 20 or more here, Dan?
Yeah, Georgia State, not Georgia Southern.
Georgia State.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I messed that up earlier this week, too. This is a game show that I really don't know what to expect from UL Monroe. I know that they covered versus App State last week, but this feels like a game where they just get the shit kicked out of them. Like, Georgia State coming off a 51-0 loss against Central. Like, you got to be fucking pissed. Coming off a game like that, just an absolute dud of a game against a team that, really is the cream of the crop in the Sun Belt. If I'm Georgia State, I'm pissed. I'm coming back with, some veracity, and I'm kicking the living shit out of Monroe. But again, you got App State, coming up next week. So, you might overlook them. I think Georgia State should win this game going away, win by 25-30, but you can't play it given how they looked last week and given their scheduling situation and their probably upcoming look at against App State. They're going to be careful, especially after the way they lost to Central Carolina. CCU.
Arkansas State, I can't believe them last week versus Troy. What the fuck happened there?
Yeah, brutal. They did not show up in that game whatsoever.
Yeah. And now ULL, 5-1. 14-point favorites. I feel like 14's a lot. Arkansas State's off that terrible loss. Like, they're going to have to play better.
I mean, the Ridge and Cajuns have not been covering machines this year. I mean, but at the same time, like, I know they didn't cover versus Texas State, but they had a really good victory against UAB the week before, and I assume that they would probably overlook Texas State for Arkansas State. I still think this Arkansas State team is still very talented. They have two very good quarterbacks. I mean, they're still a very talented team, and I do think that they probably overlook Texas State for this game, considering Texas State is still pretty shit. But Arkansas State, I mean, you can't just call out and lay a clunker to Troy. That was embarrassing, and I gave them out last week, and that's one of my worst plays of the year so far.
And I would have agreed with you. Like, I thought Arkansas State's been – I watched Troy. They saw Arkansas State's been pretty – yeah, I agree. That was a clunker.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to put it. I expect Arkansas State to bounce back, but just like you kind of have your list, I can't bet this team in the spot. They finish up with Louisiana Monroe, Texas State, and South Alabama. So maybe I'll try and find a situation if they get the shit kicked out of them against the Raging Cajuns where I can bounce back and kind of take them against a Monroe or Texas State team. But I can't take them right now. They're unbettable against teams that – you know, have very good quarterback play, which Troy got last week, despite their starting quarterback, Gunnar Watson, not playing.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I got nothing on that. Here's what I'm looking at. Southern Methodist goes to Temple. SMU 6-1. Like, they're 3-0 on the road. Like, they're rolling, dude. It opened at 14s, down to 17. Russo is out for back-to-back weeks. Temple can't put up points without Russo at this point. So, is this a play now for SMU on the road? And normally I like an over in this spot, but Temple struggling to put up points, 62.5 the line. SMU, dude, this is a good spot here. They won last year 45-21 at home.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I think that if you're taking a side in this one, it's got to be SMU. It's going to be square without a doubt. There's no question about it, but, you know, Temple, I know they're at home, but my God, they're bad, dude. They're so bad. I mean, you lose 38-3 to Tulane, even on the road. I don't care. You're not very good. They were not competitive against Navy. I mean, they lost that game. They shouldn't have even been in that game. Memphis, you know, I think they caught Memphis overlooking. And they got lucky. They were ended up able to cover. And then I think we saw, you know, clearly what they were versus Tulane. South Florida, I'm going to give them a pass. They won the game. They didn't cover. I'm going to give them a pass because I think they were looking at the Memphis. I know last week was a look-ahead spot to SMU, but my God, 3 points, 38-3. This is an SMU or nothing spot, Joe. I don't think there's any question about it. The total is weird. 62.5 on a team that scored 3 points last week. And now they're expected to score on SMU. I mean, SMU's defense is far from elite, but still, you know, SMU, you know, has played well in certain situations defensively. But I'm certainly not backing Temple. That's for damn sure.
All right, get your bell ready, Dan.
It's ready.
Give me Memphis. I have 17.5. What do you have?
17.5.
Bo Memphis, 17.5 over South Florida PP.
So there you go. So that is a PP for Joe Murray.
Sorry, South Florida blows. Memphis is gonna fucking drop. Last year they dropped 49 on them. Can they do a 50 burger?
I mean, listen, Tulsa put up 42 against South Florida. Temple put up 39 against South Florida. Eastern Carolina put up 44. And Notre Dame, who's had offensive trouble this year, put up 52. So, yes, absolutely, I think they can. I know Memphis laid a fat shit last week against Cincinnati. And let me hold on.
Can we tip our cap to Cincinnati?
I was just going to say, let me pause for a second and say I was wrong about Cincinnati. They have been impressive. I mean, really, I thought that Desmond Ridder and Luke Fickell were overrated and being overrated by the AP and the coaches. And my God, I could not have been more wrong. They were impressive. Last week's victory is one of the best wins of the year in college football. Honestly, you have a Memphis team who is looking ahead to you. You're coming off a win. Cincinnati just came off a huge win, you know, against SMU the week before, which they dominated SMU on the road. They have to come back home and play Memphis, who is ready for them. And, you know, they kick the shit out of them again. So, mea culpa, I was wrong. That Cincinnati team is fucking fantastic. So, I was wrong. Luke Fickell and that team, props. And Desmond Ridder, outplayed out of his mind. Out of his mind. I ended up watching. I didn't watch it live. I ended up watching it later that night on a replay. But holy hell, what a fucking game.
So there you go, PP. And then we have a couple with two more noon games. Northwestern, Nebraska. I don't know if we should feed Northwestern here now. I'm not sure. Nebraska obviously plays Ohio State as a week off, and then they play Northwestern. Northwestern started slow last week, came back to beat Iowa last year. Nebraska won 13-10.
I think the sharp side is going to be the Northwestern side, okay? I think you're going to see the sharp side. The sharp side is going to be the Nebraska side, excuse me. I think you're going to see people looking at a Northwestern win last week saying it's a little fraudulent. I don't know. I didn't watch too much of the game, so I can't really say, how good or bad that win was against Iowa. I do know that Nebraska hung tough with Ohio State through the first half of that game before moving on and getting obliterated. They've now had a week off. They've had a week to prep, for this game. And I think Nebraska probably should be ready for it, but they have Penn State next week. So are they going to overlook, are they going to do the overlook thing? And can they afford to overlook a 2-0 Northwestern team, to prep for Penn State? And this is a game I think I'm just going to stay away from, Joe. The spread is weird. 4 points, kind of a dead number. It's down to 3.5 now.
Oh, yeah. This is a game I want nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing. But it's going to be one of those ones that, like, we watch, and it's going to be like, Northwestern and Nebraska, they're in a tight one. You're just going to hear they're in a tight one all day long.
Yeah, total on that one, by the way, is 54. I'm surprised it's that high, but it's definitely been sharp. It opened at 51. The large majority of the bets are unders, and it's going up. So maybe we see some points as we go. I mean, Northwestern finally has a fucking quarterback, so.
All right, this is a good one here. Virginia Tech hosts Liberty. Liberty's getting 14.5 points.
Yep.
They're 6-0.
Yep.
I know the Virginia Tech running game is outstanding. Like Liberty's ranked now, right? Six consecutive wins. They beat Southern Miss 56-35 last week. They're rolling. Now they have, Western Kentucky and FIU and Syracuse. Not really heavy hitters, but Hugh Freeze, he's coaching the team pretty well. Quarterback's been good. We know about Hendon Hooker. He struggled against Wake Forest, who was more of a running team now than that passing team that they were. But I don't know. I don't know here, man. Virginia Tech 14, I want to root for Liberty in this one. Rooting for Liberty here.
Okay, let me break this one down for you, because I think that everyone and their mother is going to be fucking on Liberty this week, right? I'm not going to PP Virginia Tech, but I'm definitely going to look at it Saturday. Here's Liberty's schedule so far. Western Kentucky on the road, one of the worst teams in the FBS. FIU, home, one of the worst teams in the FBS. North Alabama, home, in the FCS, and not a good team. Louisiana Monroe, one of the worst teams in the FBS, on the road at Syracuse. Props. That's a half-decent win on the road, a Power 5 team. And then Southern Miss with no coach. And they shellacked them. I don't know. Where do you see a good win on that schedule? Syracuse? On the road at Syracuse?
No, there's none.
This is a totally different class of team. And I am worried.
But it's a team that, like, Virginia Tech hasn't really. So I know they lost Hooker the first two games. So maybe. I mean, I want to watch this one. I want to see it. I want to see what happens here.
I mean, listen, they were in the game against UNC on the road. They were in that Wake Forest game on the road. They've struggled on the road. I mean, I think that much is clear. But at home, they've been really good. They fucking murdered BC 40-14. That win looks better every week. Their home game versus NC State in the first week, where they had almost half their team out with COVID, they won 45-20. They won 45-24. I mean, again, people forget the first 4 weeks of the season, they pretty much didn't have half their team. So, can Liberty stop Khalil Herbert? Because Khalil Herbert's been a fucking monster so far. And I know Malik Willis has been really good for Liberty, but can Hendon Hooker match him? And where exactly does Liberty actually rank? Because the bookmakers say to me, they give Liberty no fucking respect. A 14.5-point dog on the road to Blacksburg, and this is a ranked team. I mean, listen, at the 12 o'clock window, there's going to be a few games that look just absolutely fucking appealing, and Liberty getting 14.5 is going to be one of the two favorites in that window. I assume bookmakers are going to need Virginia Tech, especially if it gets to, you know, 15 or so, whatever, 14.5, you know, whatever it is, 14.5 right now. I don't think you'll see Virginia Tech money until maybe 13.5, maybe 14. You'll get a little bit, but this is going to be a heavily bet Liberty side that has faced basically no one except for a road Syracuse team who I think Virginia Tech probably beats down by 25, 30. So I am very worried for Liberty. Now, here's the thing for Virginia Tech. They have Miami next week. So is Va Tech going to overlook Liberty? I don't think so, because of how hyped, you know, Liberty is being, you know, getting right now, the kind of, you know, attention they're drawing. That being said, this is not a spot I'm going to back Virginia Tech yet, but by God, so far, just the early results, Joe, again, it's only Thursday. Here are the betting percentages on this game. And I when I saw this, I was pretty like, wow, that is pretty wild. 79% of the bet on Liberty, 89% of the bet of the money on Liberty, and 64% and 72% of the money on the over. Everyone is going to be on Liberty this week. I just feel like this is going to be a spot where maybe Liberty just doesn't outclassed because they're just not in the same class.
All right, and we'll do the 7 o'clock college football game before the 3:30 slate. So, you know, I think we got about four or five games to go here, and then we'll do that.
Yep.
Troy at Georgia Southern. Troy off that win last week. Both teams 4-2. Georgia Southern at home. They're getting 3 right now. They opened up as a favorite. Troy off that really good win last week. You know, when you look ahead like that, those are sometimes tough spots here. So I like Georgia Southern here. I haven't liked Troy. I'll continue to fade Troy. I just think Georgia Southern has a better offense in the way that they run the football. Defensively, I think both teams are bad. But just if I have an opportunity to get 3 points at as a home dog with a better running controlled football team, I like my chances here. But I don't know what happened with Troy last week. Like, what happened there? You know what I mean? So for me, I like the home team getting points here.
Yeah, Troy to me was just awesome last week. I mean, you got to give them credit for the way they played. They were really, really good. You know, they had their backup quarterback. They had a game plan. They were ready to go. They dominated. They executed. And Arkansas State's two-quarterback system, you knew was going to fail at some point. I mean, they have two really good guys in Logan, you know, in Bonner and Hatcher. But at some point, like, you got to just go pick a guy and go with him because the two quarterback system just doesn't work. There's no consistency. It just doesn't work for long periods of time. And I think Arkansas State struggled, and one of their main reasons they're struggling this season because of that quarterback system. Troy, I think, really took advantage of that. And again, Troy's been really good the last 2 weeks offensively. 34 points versus Georgia State and 38 against Arkansas State. Now, to be fair, 14 of those 34 were a pick six and a fumble, which wasn't a fumble against Georgia State. So I'm gonna, you know, reserve and say maybe 20, but still impressive. I can't really take that away. Georgia Southern's a different class of defense than either Georgia State and Arkansas State, and they are really, really good. You know, the outlier being that Louisiana Monroe game, which they just didn't show up. I mean, real, there's no other way to put it. But outside of that, I mean, you know, Campbell, they had over half their team out with COVID. I can't really fault them for that. They were in they were on the road at Louisiana Lafayette and lost by 2 in a final second field goal in a game where they had 11 players out. The Louisiana Monroe game, they just didn't show up. They won, didn't show up. The next week versus UMass, they shut them out 41-0. The next week, Coastal Carolina on the road. I mean, Coastal's just a wagon. I know it was Fred Payton in the backup, but still a wagon. They gave up 28 there. And then South Alabama, who I think is more like a Troy team, they beat by 7 last week. So I agree, Joe. I think that Georgia Southern should be the favorite. You know, Troy, regardless of who's starting for them, whether it's Governor Watson or the backup, I'm forgetting his name from last week, you know, they, I get the Troy love. I do. They've had two really good weeks in a row, even though they're 1-1. I just think second game on the road, back-to-back roadies, facing a better defense, a, you know, class up there, got to face the triple option. Like, it just, there's a lot of things that go against Troy this week, and I do think that Georgia Southern is the side because of that.
All right, two local games. BC plays Syracuse. Syracuse getting two touchdowns at home. Last year, BC dropped 58 on Syracuse. Now, I mentioned this to you, Dan, because I think it's important. Now, I know every team's going to go to a bowl this year, but BC at 4-3. They play Syracuse this week. They're 5-3. They have Notre Dame on deck. Then Louisville, Virginia. Those are going to be two tough games. I know they're bottom teams in the ACC. But, like, they need this win. BC needs this win, considering Notre Dame next week. So, I think BC goes to Syracuse and gives them a nice little beatdown. But these are, like, these rivalry games here, you know what I mean? I'm not betting this one. I'm not betting this game whatsoever. Now, I know Syracuse played Clemson tight, 47-21. And Dracovic's been really good. Is he healthy this week? I don't know that answer. But overall, BC should smash Syracuse like everyone else has been smashing Syracuse.
I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm just – this is the worst scheduling spot on the schedule for Boston College. Coming off a massively deflating loss at Clemson, now back-to-back roadies on the road at Syracuse, and next week they have Notre Dame. If you're looking for one of the worst scheduling spots you can possibly have, this is it. This is the week to be on Syracuse. Now, I'm not going to do that. I have no interest in backing Syracuse. And the spread to me says Boston College is the side, not Syracuse. 14 points. I think you're going to see a lot of Syracuse love for figuring exactly what I just figured. Off that Clemson loss, which they should have won that game, then – you know, they're on the road again to Syracuse, and they're looking at Notre Dame. I think there is a very reasonable explanation for why you're backing Syracuse in this spot, regardless of how you feel about them as a football team. They were really bad versus Wake last week, and we talked about that, you know, Syracuse. And I certainly refuse to back them and have no interest in that. If you're making me choose this one, Joe, I'm taking BC, but this is – like, this is the ultimate fade on the schedule because of their situational spot that they're in. It's just, it's bad. It is one of the worst spots you can have the entire season. Just for any team, yes. Off an emotional loss, back-to-back road games, and looking ahead next week. Brutal. It's just fucking brutal. That being said, the spread to me says BC.
UMass plays Marshall. You know how I feel. Marshall, Coastal Carolina, those two teams. Those are my two teams. Like, those are the two teams, I think, outside of BYU that could make a huge run. Marshall's 45-point favorites against UMass.
44.5 now, actually. Get that key number of 45, you know, Joe.
Okay, all right. All right, let's be honest here. Marshall's going to smack UMass. Smack them. Smack him up, flip him, rub him down. Oh no. Do they cover? like the over is 55, Dan. I mean, like, could this be like a 48-3 game? Is that what they're telling us? Like,
I mean, I think that they're saying maybe UMass gets a touchdown and you're looking at
who's Marshall playing next?
Well, I'll tell you their schedule. They are looking ahead to Mid-Tennessee State, so not exactly a look ahead.
Who's next?
Mid-Tennessee State.
After them.
Oh, after that, it's Charlotte. Home versus Charlotte. So they get two home games, and then they get the Rice game that was postponed from early in the year. Get three home games in a row, and then they finish off the season on the road at FIU.
What's the rest of their schedule? What are those three games?
Mid-Tennessee State, Charlotte, Rice, and FIU on the road at FIU. I mean,
that's
really,
the rest of their schedule?
After UMass, that's it. Charlotte is the team that, you know, you have to be even a little bit remotely concerned with. The rest of them, I mean, home versus Mid-Tennessee State and Rice, and on the road at FIU. I mean, those are not of major concern.
Marshall's going undefeated.
Yes, they are.
So that's what I mean. Marshall, if BYU wins, if they beat Boise and beat San Diego State, that's way more impressive. But Coastal Carolina has to win their conference.
And if Boise State beats BYU in the remaining of their schedule, that's way more impressive than what BYU did.
But I think Boise doesn't play as many games.
But it doesn't matter.
The Mountain West, you know what I mean?
But Mountain West is a better conference than fucking, you know, Louisiana.
No, BYU is an independent. I get it.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, Marshall's could go undefeated. And where do they end up? Shit schedule.
Yeah, I mean, their best win is against App State this year, and that win looks, you know, worse by the week, to be perfectly frank with you. And, you know, their second best win is against a Florida Atlantic team who is okay. I do think that, you know, you're looking at, a Marshall team that is, I don't know, overrated. That being said, against UMass, I mean, listen, the total opened at 58. It's down to 55.5, okay? Everyone's going to be on the over because they're expecting UMass to score a touchdown or so. Or maybe Marshall just doesn't have the offense.
No, the Marshall defense is so good.
I know they are.
They average 35 points a game, 430 through the air. Like, Georgia Southern dropped 41 on them.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Marshall or nothing. I'm just not taking a side on the total.
I know. I hear you.
But I think it's impossible to bet UMass.
Okay.
Getting the majority of the bets right now, which is asinine.
Yeah, listen, UMass. I've heard they've had 15 practices this year.
Yeah.
And it's all because of COVID. But whatever. Marshall's the real. I mean, they're a good team this year. It sucks for Marshall because without COVID, they'd have some better games. You know what I mean? They're a good, legitimately good team this year. Good, their defense is very good. And at the time, App State was ranked, so I know that losses were good.
But again, you look at the overall body of work and say that wins it.
Speaking of App State, did not cover last week. We thought they would, but they went handily. Whatever, they didn't cover. So if you don't cover, that's whatever. They play Texas State. Like, they should fucking roll Texas State. But they're on the thing is, App State's got this good defense, good running game. Quarterback's supposed to be good, but he's subpar. I don't know. I just think they should win. They're 17.5-point favorites against Texas State. Like, I just feel like they should cover that.
Yeah, I mean, they should. They should. I just... They're not a team I have any interest in putting my backing into right now. And Texas State was pretty good against Louisiana Lafayette offensively. They put up 34 last week, and you know, maybe they make it a little bit difficult. By the way, Texas State 1-7, and they have one conference win, and they're third in the Sun Belt in the West Side. 1-7, third in the Sun Belt. It's insane. Just because the Sun Belt West has been decimated earlier this year. That being said, I do think that App State is this is a game you can't bet, dude. You can't bet it. Just
yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Nothing to bet. But let's just move on to games we can't bet. Southern Miss is giving 17.5 to forget it. Don't even seven. They're giving 17.5 points to anybody, Dan. Like, it happens to be North Alabama, but no, they shouldn't be giving points to anybody in the world.
I mean, North Alabama, I don't know, man.
Let's not even discuss it.
I would say skip that game unless you really feel you have a nice edge on it.
All right, let's get into tonight's games. Let's do college, obviously, first here.
Okay.
I have watched Nevada, dude. And they're impressive. The quarterback, so they still have Tua Tagovailoa, whatever his name is. He's been there forever. That big ass running back. They have a shot of 3-0. The passing game's been outstanding. Well, they put up 420 on Wyoming. They put up 350 last week against UNLV. Utah State doesn't have the offense to keep up, but Utah State's had a tougher schedule. Utah State's put up 418 yards total in 20 points in two games. All blowout losses, of course, against Boise and against San Diego State. So say whatever you want about that. Nevada's defense is okay. It's okay.
It's not good.
I think Nevada, what I like about Nevada, their quarterback's a stud, and I'll get into him in a minute. But they hold the ball forever, right? Like, if Utah State's only going to get, let's call it, 8 possessions, like, they're going to struggle. So Carson Strong is legit, high-profile kid. They run a the Kaepernick offense. What do you call that, the pistol?
Kinda the like RPO.
Yeah, like a pistol RPO offense. They hold the ball for 35 minutes again. I bet last week second half Nevada, and it was easy cinch. It was easy peasy. And you know, I got a chance to watch UNLV, and they're not good, but they're going to be better. UNLV towards the end of the year, I'd actually look at UNLV. The more I look at this, like, I think Nevada's going to put up 30 plus points tonight, and Utah State is going to play an easier defense. Now, it's national television. Nevada's playing in that awesome stadium, like this new awesome stadium. It's not Boise State. It's not San Diego State. You're playing against Nevada. So I think Utah State will put up some points. The question for me, Dan, is 17.5, is that too much? I don't think it is. I think it's been bet up a little bit, though. I'm looking at the total. I'm staring at this total for tonight. It opened to 55. It's gone up to 57.5. The way I mentioned that Nevada handles the football might take possessions away from Utah State. So, you know, the more I look at this, I like Nevada tonight minus 17. What do you see that right now? 17.5?
Let me double check. I'll go to my. We have minus 17, minus 107 for Nevada.
Okay, so seven. So you got 17.
17. Yep.
So I like Nevada tonight in this spot. I wanted to look more at the total. Like, that's what I wanted to have some fun on in this one. Again, I'm not making a play yet. How do you feel about this? Because there's two games tonight. Right now Nevada's minus 17, minus 105. So money's coming in on Utah State at the moment.
I actually disagree. It's coming in on Utah State. It moved from 17.5 to 7.
That's what I meant. Utah State.
The sharps are probably hitting Utah State at 17.5. Look, the way I break this game down, Joe, is that Utah State has played the two best teams in the conference, probably, in Boise State and San Diego State. I think you'll make a case for Fresno later on. I think you'll make a case for Wyoming later on. But in general, I think Boise State and San Diego State are the two best teams in the conference, and I think that Utah State getting the shit kicked out of by both of them is nothing new. Nevada's win against Wyoming, who I think is a quality opponent, Nevada should have lost that game. Just straight up. They were terrible in the second half, and the only reason they were, had such a large lead is because Wyoming's quarterback got hurt 3 plays into the game. They didn't deserve to win that game. They were not the better team in that game. They got dominated in that game, especially in the second half. I thought they were lucky. They were very fortunate in the first half with a couple bad ref calls as well. But, you know, that's every game. That's not really something you can really blame on them. But just saying. Wyoming should have won that game, okay? If they have their quarterback, they probably kick the living shit out of Nevada. That game isn't close. I don't think Nevada's as good as the records say. Then last week was UNLV. 37-19, that's not impressive at all. That's actually borderline shitty. UNLV sucks. They are Louisiana Monroe bad, not UMass bad, but right maybe a notch above that. I'm not impressed by Nevada at all. I think that maybe you're looking at a 1-1 team that got real lucky with an injury and really didn't do super well versus UNLV, a team that literally could not move the ball against San Diego State at all. I think Nevada's being overhyped here, and I think Utah State's being undersold, facing the two best teams in the conference. And then, you know, they're not going to look good against those teams. It's just not good enough. Now, Nevada's definitely better than Utah State, but on the road – sorry, yeah. Are they on the road? No, Utah State's on the road. But nonetheless, I mean, just Utah State, I think you're buying you're buying low in Nevada. Again, it's a very similar situation as we discussed earlier. Buying low on Utah State, selling high in Nevada. Now, one of these favorites is probably going to cover tonight. And it could easily be this one. I just think out of both of them, I think I'd much rather go Wyoming. I think Nevada is heavily overrated. I think at 17.5, Utah State has some value. I do. I really do think so. The total at 59 now, it just keeps going up. It went from 56 to 57, was 58 earlier today. Now it's at 59. It keeps going up. I assume that's because people actually expect Utah State to put together a half-decent offensive performance. So, you know, instead of whatever the 13-7 they put up the past 2 weeks, I do think Nevada is going to be able to score. Carson Strong in that offense is very good. But just in general, I think that defense is bad. I think that team is overrated. And I think they're very lucky to be 2-0 instead of 1-1.
So you might be right. They might be overrated. You might be right about that. They got something going, man. I'm telling you, they have an upstart program.
You're going off a UNLV team that is so bad.
I know, but I'm looking at a team in Utah State that I think's down. I think they're down.
They definitely are down. But I mean, Nevada got a fortuitous roll with Wyoming's quarterback going out the first half.
I get it. Listen, we'll get into the Wyoming game in a bit. I get what you're saying. I'm looking at tonight. Forget about the past. Tonight, I think Nevada's better than Utah State. Now you make valid points. Right now, maybe Nevada's a little overinflated. Maybe 17's overinflated.
It is.
And feel free to chat in if you have any insight on this game tonight. Sounds like me and Dan are on two different sides here on the game. I just like the kid Strong. I think he's played well, and I think around the goal line, the kid Tawa is a beast. Like he's been there for I don't know how many years now. Has that kid been there?
Yeah, but again, I agree with you. Nevada's the better team, but again, you're buying the better team at a fucking 3-score premium.
I know.
I just think that is you're really, really, really going. If you're laying 17 with Nevada, I think that you really got to be like, that's got to be like against UNLV. Like they put it like this. If what was the score last week between the Nevada game? 37-19. They barely cover against UNLV. And UNLV is significantly worse than Utah State. Again, I don't love the Utah State offense. I'm not telling you they're going to put up 40 points tonight. I'm just saying they face the two best teams in the Mountain West. Now they're being short-sold against a Nevada team that really just is not good defensively. I think this could has the potential to be, either an offensive shootout and Utah State keeps it close, or I think Utah State is a legitimate live dog tonight. I do. I think Nevada has a chance to fucking, really take a shit tonight. I expect Nevada to really stumble in the next few days. I mean, in next few games. I mean, what's going to happen when this team faces San Diego State? If they win tonight, they're going to be 4-0 going into that San Diego State game, and I will fade the fuck out of Nevada. I will. I can't wait for it. Because I hope they win tonight.
Again, I'm not saying that I don't think they are potentially overrated. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying what I've seen, I haven't been in – there is nothing that gives me any indication to back Utah State tonight. Nothing. And if that's the case, like someone just mentioned their team total tonight is – their team total is 20.5. So would you play that over?
This is probably not a game I'm going to play. I just think that I think the worst play on the board out of every single side, I think the worst play is Nevada's minus 17 tonight, just because I think you're buying them at such a premium. Now, they may cover that premium. Again, it is very possible. And I'm not PPing Utah State. I'm just giving you my case. If I'm going to take Nevada, I need to take it at a number I feel reasonable about this team covering. This could be Utah State could kick the shit out of them, could have a great game. They could backdoor or they could blow it. And I don't know. I get the feeling that Nevada is going to be that super heavy Thursday night favorite that just doesn't live up to expectations. They're 2-0. They're super, like, they're super public, and you know they're being, you know, super hyped right now. You're all over Carson Strong, and that's what I'm talking about. I think that this is going to be a team that, I'm nervous. I would be nervous backing Nevada. That's all. I'm not peeping Utah State. I'm not on them. I haven't laid a single dollar. I'm just saying.
We have no pick on the game. I think Nevada's better than Utah State.
Yeah, they are, but they're not.
I want to make a play on the total. I think Nevada's going to hold the ball a long time, and Utah State's not going to have opportunities. And I probably should look up the last week. Anyways, you have more games because we got to get going.
Yeah.
Wyoming plays Colorado State. Now, Wyoming has a really good running back. I mean, this kid's legit. I watched some good running backs last night in action. Wyoming has a legit running back. They're going to run. Colorado State, dude, that whoever that quarterback is, bad. Trillo, whatever his name is, he sucks.
Santeo.
Oh God, does he suck? It was tough. Dude, they have no patience on offense. It's like, all right, yeah, first and goal from the 8. All right, yeah, running. Okay, he gets stopped. Let's run it again. Okay, yeah, he gets stopped. RPO to the back of the end zone. Oh, okay. Next play, it's like, hey, let's do a bootleg. Throw it to a tight end who can't run that fast. Those four plays probably happened in 14 seconds. You know what I'm saying? They have no patience. Now, they got a decent offensive line. I'll tell you that. They mentioned all the guys that came over from BC, so they have that there. Colorado State should be better than what they are. They're poorly coached, and I will fucking fade that forever. So, I like Wyoming tonight.
Are you PPing Wyoming?
I mean, no. I just think... So, I mean, all right, fine.
You listen. Do not let me talk you into it. No. I'm merely just asking the question.
No. I just think that we give out PPs for our plays that we like for the week. I just feel like what do you like tonight? I like Wyoming to cover the 3 points.
Yeah, I do too.
So take it for what it's worth. I like Wyoming to cover 3 points tonight.
That being said, the rumor on the street is that O'Brien is going to be the quarterback. And I think that O'Brien makes that team significantly better.
He did better second half, but it was garbage time.
Agreed. And again, I think that Fresno team had kind of let up. Woolridge or whatever the fuck his name is was in last week. And when Patrick O'Brien got it. Look, O'Brien was the better of the two quarterbacks. Santeo's garbage. And I think that is Steve Adazio trying to get too fucking cute with a quarterback who fits his system and, you know, does what Steve Adazio does, which is run the ball, run it some more, and run it again. Because Steve Adazio is, listen, as a Boston College fan, Steve Adazio, maybe not fan, supporter because they're in the city, Steve Adazio is fucking trash, okay? He just is. And the Colorado State hire by him was, in my opinion, embarrassing because he's going to kill that program offensively. Now, defensively, they'll be fantastic, which is kind of what you can expect. Joe, they have a kid named Trey McBride, and that kid can fucking play. He's a really good receiver. He basically was Colorado State's offense against Fresno State a couple weeks ago. Here's the problem. Fresno State can move the ball in the air, and Wyoming is going to have to attack a different way. They're going to go to Zavazian Evalade, who's the running back you were talking about. He is going to be a potential NFL draft pick. Levi Williams is going to have to be accurate. He is going to have to be smart with the football, and they can't do what they did last week against Hawaii. They can't run the ball and stuff it down Colorado State's throat. It just won't work, not against a Dazio team, not against a Colorado State team that's going to be prepped for the run. You're going to have to throw the ball, and that is where I think the danger in this game lies for Wyoming. Is that you have to throw the ball tonight. You know, I think that is going to be a real issue for them, is moving the ball. And I don't know. I think Levi Williams is a really nice quarterback. I do. I just worry about, you know, what are we going to get from him through the air? Because that is a kid who you look at and you say, wow, fucking 3 inches to the left. That's a pick. He is one of those guys who floats balls up there. He makes mistakes. He's scary. He's a scary quarterback to watch if you're a fan of his. I I think ultimately Wyoming is going to cover. I just really don't like either one of these games, Joe. But if you're making me pick a favorite side on Thursday, it's going to be Wyoming just because I can't back a Steve Adazio-based team. Even if they start Patrick O'Brien tonight, which is the smart move, and maybe they split time. I don't fucking know. It's Adazio. He's an idiot. So who knows? It is embarrassing to me what Colorado State is going to become. I already know. They're going to become a stout defensive team that runs the ball every fucking down. They're going to have an A.J. Dillon type back and just pound it through. And that just sucks because Colorado State has been such a fun program to watch the last few years. So we'll see. I like Wyoming tonight, as you said. I'm not PPing them. But I, if you're making me choose a side out of the four, Wyoming would be my favorite.
All right. You want to go back to college or NFL Thursday night?
Let's do NFL Thursday night and take a 20-second break for sponsors.
All right. COVID. Oof. It's really impacted the NFL this week, especially tonight's game. Opened as a pick. It was 2.5 at one point. Right now, San Francisco's 6.5-point dog at home. They're 4-4. They're coming off a loss. Mullins played decent in replacement for Jimmy Garoppolo. They're without their best players. Like, you know, I think it's going to be a rough one here. The last matchup, you know, was last January, if you remember. San Francisco beat them 37-20 in the NFC Championship game. So it was a little bit of a revenge game here. The running game is going to be, it sounds like dude's going to play there. Why do I keep forgetting his name there? The running back for
Aaron Jones.
Jones. Why? I keep forgetting.
Yes, he is active in playing, by the way.
I think that with Mostert down, Wilson down, Tevin Coleman down, they're not going to be able to run the football like they have. I don't know who they're going to throw the football to be honest with you.
So, I think Taylor is their number one wide receiver tonight.
So I'm going way off the grid tonight, way off the grid here, but I'm going over 48.
Over, interesting. Okay, you PP in it or no?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, there you go. You got a Thursday night PP from Joe. This is the spread that I think is the sketchiest of the week. Is that something fair to say, Joe?
Yeah,
the shadiest, the sketchiest, whatever. Nick Mullins, last time he played, Joe, I don't know if you remember, but he was so bad he was benched. Because Nick Mullins was absolutely fucking horrendous in that game. Basically didn't look like an NFL quarterback. He looked like a Canadian Football League backup. I believe it was against the Eagles. It was maybe a Thursday night game. I think it may have been a Thursday night game as well. Or maybe a Monday night game, whatever it was. He was so bad. He got benched in that game and they brought in, the kid out of fucking Iowa, whatever the fuck his name is. I'm blanking on his name.
Who's this again? I'm sorry.
CJ Beathard. Oh, okay. Whatever. But yeah, legitimately, the Niners have – Nick Mullins was horrendous in that game. Horrible. Why is this line 7? Like, what again, it opened 7.5. The Sharps definitely took San Francisco. Why is this line 7? I don't understand what the deal is with, you know, with Green Bay here, honestly. You know, they're basically healthy. Aaron Jones is back. They have Davante Adams. The quarterback's healthy. I know they have a few injuries. Every team does. I just – the line scares the shit out of me because obviously the whole world's going to be on Green Bay and everyone's going to take Green Bay, and that's not really a fucking surprise. It's just – it's fucking weird that it's 7. It's actually down to 6.5 now. So if you want to take San Francisco, you miss the fucking 7s. It's 6.5 now on Bookmaker. Total's 48.5. I have no idea what they expect in this game, Joe. None.
I think Rodgers is going to be able to put up points. I think both teams are going to give up points. That's just where I'm going with it. And listen, Aaron Rodgers, like, they were embarrassed last week.
They were.
I'm going to mention revenge game, dude. I usually don't do this. Like, usually I'm like, you know, I think. Besides last week, I actually thought, like, the Falcons were good. Like, Teddy Bridgewater wasn't good last week.
Yep.
And the Falcons played a great game on Thursday night. They were a road team that won. I'm going with the road team again. I think the road team wins this week. But I just think there's going to be a lot of points. I think it goes over 48. So, and how? I don't know. Does Nick Mullins throw pick six? Is there a fumble? Does he try to throw it all day long? Are there backdoor points? It's going over 48 points is all I'm telling you tonight.
I just don't get the game. I don't have a good feel on it. I don't feel comfortable.
No, this is the shit where you don't throw money, Dan, to throw money around.
No.
Like, this is one of these ones. From what I'm seeing on Twitter, a lot of people are on San Francisco tonight. But it was at 7 and 7.5.
So. Right. I've only seen Green Bay, which is surprising. But again, we do follow different people, so we usually get a good mix. I really don't know what to think of this game, Joe. This is a game where the sharps are going to be on the Niners and the public and the squares are going to be on the Packers. And, you know, this is going to be one of those classic Thursday night sharp for square. Who wins? Or the refs going to affect the game because we know Green Bay in the primetime games. And this game, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to be on it. If you're looking at a prop, because I do think that, you know, maybe your best bet is going proppy, like, you know what I mean here, because, you know, you have to bet it because you're a fucking junk, you know, action junkie like me or whatever. To me, I'm looking at maybe Aaron Rodgers over 11.5 rushing yards is the line. And the reason is because I think Rodgers is going to have to fucking move today in the pocket, because I think that maybe the reason we're seeing this is we see some offensive line issues. We saw them last week. I know that the Niners are obviously banged up front, but nonetheless, I still think Rodgers is going to have to move in and out of the pocket. So if you want a prop to play, I think that is a half decent prop. There were some good Davante Adams receiving yards props earlier. Those have all shot the fuck up. And then there was Jarek McKinnon prop too that was pretty good, as well as a Trent Taylor. But those have all been significantly moved at this point. So listen, I think that this is something that you need to just kind of move on from and whatever. So don't fuck around in this game. I think this is just a stay away game. Stay the fuck away.
All right, he's Dan Lifshatz, and he's staying away. all right, we'll take a quick pause here. It is the DraftKings Over Under podcast. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. I'm getting all my bounces so we can get this going. And then, all right, let's have some fun. We'll take a quick break here on the DraftKings Over Under show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
All right, Dan, we're back. We have a lot of games to go. I'm keeping track of my PPs. So I've given out 1, 2, 3. I've given out 3 so far.
Okay. I've given out 1.
Okay. I have 2 more to give.
Okay.
So let's get into it. College football. Oh, I really want to be done in an hour. Let's do this.
Let's go.
Okay. So we are going to start off with Kansas, Oklahoma. Should Oklahoma win by 40? Yes. Will they win by 40, Dan?
This is a pass. Pass game. Oklahoma easily could be a letdown spot here. just from the last few weeks. I think this is a game you avoid Oklahoma, and obviously you're not playing Kansas, so I think it's a pass.
Should Mississippi State be giving 20 points to Vanderbilt? I say no.
They can't score, dude. I mean, it's becoming a common theme in Mississippi State. They can't score.
The last time the teams met was way back in 14. Mississippi State won 51-0.
Yeah, that being said, Mississippi State, this might be the what they kind of need to kind of get back on track.
It's their homecoming, too.
Yeah, I mean, they do need something to kind of get back on track. So it's possible. Vandy double road game for them, and Mississippi State probably has Auburn maybe looking ahead a little bit because it's Vandy, but I don't know. They're so bad, I'm not sure they can look ahead. So I'm passing on Mississippi State.
Fresno, UNLV. I watched UNLV. They'll be a better program. They're getting 11 at home. Fresno's the better team. They should win that game.
Yeah, to me this is one of the easiest spots of the week. I don't get this line. I don't understand this line. I am going to be trapped in this line. Maybe I'm an idiot. Very good chance I'm an idiot. It's something, you know, I'm just being stupid, but give me PP. Fresno State minus 11.
What
are we doing here? UNLV is the worst, maybe the worst team in the
country. And again, I watched them last week. They need help, but I think they're getting on track. Like they got the right coach there. They are where they are. They're not New Mexico, but they're. I think they'll be better. I do not think
Marcus Arroyo is the right coach. I think he sucks. I think he's garbage. I think he'll be fired in 2 years.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
Lovie Smith's at home. He's getting 7 against Minnesota. So Illinois' quarterback couldn't start last week for COVID. Their backup got hurt, and then their third string got hurt. Who's the quarterback this week? Minnesota. We know the story of Minnesota. They can't lose to Illinois. They can't. So I'm not betting it, but like the Minnesota getting 7, this looks like the squarest play in the world.
I believe Brandon Peters is back. Okay. So if he's the starter for Illinois, I feel very confident in saying that I think Illinois is the side. I think there's only one player that you can. I think it's one side in this game you can bet. It's Illinois or nothing. If you bet Minnesota, I don't care if Minnesota wins by 40. You're a fucking idiot if you bet Minnesota. This is just – that is not a team you back. You just – they're so bad. On the road, no. Illinois fucking sucks, but Minnesota rode the boat off the fucking cliff. They're – I mean, really, stick a fork in them. Most overrated team in the conference by far. So, no, it's Illinois or nothing for me. And that total, Joe, is wild. 62? 62, what? Because Minnesota's defense is so bad? Illinois' offense might be terrible. Under. So, all right, Joe, what else you got here?
Moving on with the 3:30 games because there's a couple of big ones. Mid-Tennessee State, Charlotte. Not much.
It's a weird game. I assume everyone's going to be at Mid-Tennessee State after that Charlotte letdown last week. I don't know. I think Charlotte's probably due for bounce back. Mid-Tennessee State on the road at Marshall next week. Like, if you want to bet Charlotte, this is a really good week to do it. 4.5-point spread, which, again, you know, pretty much dead number. And a bounce back spot against a team that's probably looking ahead next week because they have, you know, whatever. Even though if it's in Murfreesboro, whatever it is, Tennessee, I still think Charlotte is going to win this game. I may add this one Saturday. It's a good, really good spot for Charlotte.
I mentioned the Pac-12. I just want to stay away from it. So I have bad feelings about Utah, Kyle Whittingham. They had to furlough the whole program. With COVID, there was a lot there. Utah is a great team at home. They beat Utah. They beat Arizona last year, 35-7. I don't know who the quarterback is. Is it Gunnell? I think. Because Moss left, Huntley I think is gone. I'm just trying to think of who else is on Utah that I can remember.
Is Drew Lisk is the quarterback, maybe? Let me see. Let me go.
Jake Bentley from South Carolina. Wow.
Gotcha. Okay. So Bentley Trench.
There you go. There you go. How about that? And then Gunnell's going to be the Arizona quarterback for that Khalil Tate all those years, and they finally pulled him and brought this kid in as a redshirt. Yeah. I'd probably fade Arizona here. But I'm really out on Utah this year. They had a lot of issues in the offseason, man. I was reading about it, and I was like, this isn't good. But, hey, they're giving Willingham an extension, and he's been very good. That team's been very good. So, and you listen, when you're playing in the Pac-12 championship game, and it's fourth down, and you punt, and you go for I'm not going to get over that. I was in Vegas when it happened. I was watching the game. We know what happened, right? Remember, Herbert, next play, 91-yard pass? Yeah. You go for it on fourth down, right? And you're getting crushed. Then you didn't go for it on fourth down when it mattered. You never got the ball back and you lost. They would have won the game, Dan. They would have won. It still hurts.
I can tell. I think this is a game. Bob, I'm looking it up right now just because when I was looking at, you know, when I did my research on Utah, they had not done they had not settled on a starting quarterback. They still have not settled on a starting quarterback. Although Jake Bentley, he was named captain, so that is why everyone's assuming he will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah,
but they are writing that it could be Drew Lisk as well.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe it. It's funny how these quarterbacks.
Right. So I thought it would be Lisk because I think he's better. But Jake Bentley, I mean, you know, He could be the guy. We'll see. This is a stay away game for me. Learn a little bit about these two teams and how bad Utah is actually going to be without Zach Moss and Tyler Huntley.
The defense might still be good though. Yeah. Penn State is giving 25 to Maryland. They're 0-2. Maryland's coming off that victory against. I'm off this game, but wow, 25 points.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State probably covers this big number. I really do think that. Maryland got their big win last week. I mean, Penn State starts 0-2. You got to imagine this team is fucking pissed, right? They lose to IU. They cover, technically, 11.5 against, you know, fucking Ohio State, or 13.5 against Ohio State, but they don't win. I don't know. This is a game that I think that they probably come back out and just kick the living shit out of Maryland. They're probably pissed, dude. And the remaining of their schedule just isn't that hard. Maryland at Nebraska, home versus Iowa, at Michigan, which, you know, right now that looks like a toss-up, at Rutgers and home versus Michigan State. I mean, theoretically they could win out the rest of their schedule. I think maybe it starts with Maryland. They could kick the shit out of them.
Okay, couple more here in the 3:30. A couple big ones at 3:30 coming up in a minute. I'm just trying to re-rack my computer here. Okay, Texas Tech last week, huh? Wow. And then TCU 2 weeks ago. Wow. TCU is giving 9. It's probably the right spot for them. Big 12. Fucking never know what's going on in the Big 12. Texas Tech laid an egg last week. They're 0-2 on the road this year. I'm out. Out on that one, Dan.
Yeah, TC Open is a 10-point favorite. It's down to 8.5 now, Joe. I'm assuming that Texas Tech is going to be the sharp side, but I still don't want the buyback. I know they had a nice win versus West Virginia a few weeks ago, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying into it. I will say TCU, you know, does have to go on the road at Morgantown next week. So, you know, that, you know, maybe they're trying to overlook Texas Tech. I doubt it. I highly doubt that they're going to overlook this team. And, you know, TCU struggled themselves, so they really need this win. They're 2-3, and, you know, they're pretty much out of the Big 12 already. So they badly need this victory. I don't know. I can't see Texas Tech. I think Duggan and TCU should get that done, and I think that Duggan and TCU should probably cover this game.
All right, a couple more here. I just want to get this out of the way. Rice and UTSA. Interesting. Rice is favored here.
Yeah, so this is one of the weird spreads of the week, and I'm circling this one to figure out what the fuck is going on in this game. I have not done my research into it, to be fair. Rice Open is 5.5-point favorites. Almost the same spot last week when UTSA went on the road at FAU, and FAU kicked the shit out of them, 24-3. That score does not do it justice either. It should have been way worse than that. Back-to-back roadies. So, you know, double at Rice. You know, Rice is not exactly looking at the La Tech next week. They're coming off a really good victory against USM. Now, again, or something. Head coach quits and, you know, whatever. It's kind of different. But offensively, Rice put up 34 and 30 the last few weeks. And I'm going to keep saying it. UTSA overrated. People are looking at that BYU game, but BYU was looking at the Houston, no doubt. I still think this team is severely overrated. Their four wins are Texas State, SF Austin, Mid-Tennessee State, and La Tech. So I might find myself on Rice once I look into this one. The spread says play Rice. That's what it says. It says fucking play Rice.
All righty. And then the big ones, 330. Let's go with the I guess the lighter of the two, Houston, Cincinnati. We tipped our caps to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I
owned it. I was wrong about Luke Fickell and that team. Wrong.
So Houston's a different beast, man. Houston won this game 38-23, handled it great. Is this a bad spot for Cincinnati?
I mean, last week was a bad spot for Cincinnati. This week, again, it's almost the same spot, except they're not coming off a road shellacking. They're coming off a home shellacking. They're not going anywhere. There's no travel. I wonder if we're going to see a better performance out of Houston than we will out of Memphis. That being said, like, since he's a wagon, everyone's going to be on Cincy this week, right? You know, the boat is going to get full eventually, and it's going to capsize. Just when, you know, when, not if. I'm going to say that, again, this week I assume that Cincinnati is going to win. I don't know by how much. I'm staying away from the game completely because I want to watch and see what Cincinnati, how they take their third straight game in a row. I would say under. If anything, I expect Cincinnati's defense to still be strong, and Houston is a better defensive team than the last two teams they played. So let's see what Cincinnati can do moving the ball against a Houston defense that's definitely a step up from SMU and Memphis.
Okay, and I wanted to play this game. I'm not going to. I can't. Houston's one of those teams that can put up points. Dude, they could be up 21-0, and then Cincinnati could make a comeback. You know what I mean?
It's like
one.
Yep. No, totally agree.
It's just one of those games. So
it's an American Conference game. American.
Yep. All right. I have a play here.
I already know what this is.
Florida, Georgia. Now, I'm being consistent, Dan. Consistency is big with me from beginning of the season projections and whatever. I'm going Florida 3.5, ring the bell. This isn't – we're getting a bell?
Did you PP it?
PP. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, here we go.
Florida 3.5. Now just hear me out. I know Georgia's defense is great. I don't think Florida's defense is as good as it was or as in the past. They start slow. Both teams start slow. Trask is the better quarterback here.
Much better.
It's a neutral site. And I watched Georgia against Alabama. I don't think that kid's right, man. That quarterback, he's played well. Here's one thing that I'm going to bring up. One thing. Georgia has yet to give up a touchdown to a tight end this year.
That changes this week.
Kyle Pitts has 7. And I am going with Kyle Pitts, Kyle Trask, and Florida to cover the 3.5 this week. Georgia needs this game. Georgia needs it. And listen, Florida losing earlier this year, they need it too. On Sunday, Florida averages 42 points per game. Can they do that against Georgia? I probably doubt it. But give me the team that averages 42 points per game with the better quarterback in a very good defense. Not what they used to be.
No, they're not a good. They're not very good.
I shouldn't call them good. I shouldn't call them good.
They're horrendous. Let's be fair.
Give me Florida 3.5. I'll save the long explanation for the weekend. 3.5.
Okay. I'm not taking the other side. I'm not putting money on it, but I would absolutely take Georgia. In fact, to me, this is a Georgia or nothing play. You look at what Florida's done, their body of work. At Mississippi, they give up 35 points. Home versus South Carolina, they give up 24. Their best competition, probably the only good competition they played, they gave up 41 and lose. And then, Missouri last week, I think they were just really good. They were better than Missouri. And I think the Missouri Just wasn't even in their, it wasn't even their class. So I'm gonna give the props to Missouri and say, you know, whatever, that's good there. Missouri gets, you know, 17 out. That was Florida's best win of the year. I look at Georgia and say, defensively, this is an elite team. This is a legitimately elite team. Now, you have 41 to Bama. It's hard to consider yourselves elite. But that being said, they are so good defensively. Stetson Bennett is a terrible quarterback, but Florida's defense is so bad, it doesn't matter. I might be able to put up 40. I just don't see Florida being able to score enough on this Georgia defense.
No, I just want to mention this. I was in same time last year. Jake Fromm had to convert a third and long to seal the deal, and he did to cover the 6.5. It was Georgia 6.5 last year. Florida was better last year, no doubt.
Florida was better last year? I think Florida's worse. I think Florida's better this year.
Okay, well, whatever. It was whatever point I'm making is that Georgia, Jake Fromm made a big play to win the game, and they won, covered. And I just remember being on the beach in Florida. I'm in Florida, right? And it was so funny. In the morning, I saw the Miami, and I'm like, maybe I'll bet Miami. I just saw a Miami flag. And then I'm like, oh, I got Georgia big time today, and I'm in Florida. Like, this isn't good. It covered. I'm going Florida this year. They've had no joy. Listen, I agree with you. Georgia's got a better defense. They should be able to run on Florida. Just stop Kyle Trask. I'm going with the Kyles. Going with the Kyles this week. And if I lose, I lose. So how about that?
Fair enough. I mean, at least you're being consistent. You picked Florida at the beginning of the year.
I picked Florida. I'm going Coastal Carolina later if you really want to know already. But I'm not PPing it.
Our buddy John also says something. Pickens is back for Georgia. Massive weapon for them. He is extremely important to what Georgia can do offensively when he's not doing dumb shit on the sidelines. So, you know, again, I think this is Georgia or nothing. I think that this game may get out of hand if Florida struggles early. Really do.
Somehow it's 2-0 Utah State, by the way.
Really? Interesting.
Don't know how that happened. But all right, so that's our 3:30 slate, and let's get into the 4 o'clock. So then, there's a lot of games, dude.
I know. The rest of the slate is actually not that big, so let's bang it out.
4 o'clock, we have Oklahoma State in there. Good defense versus. So I think Oklahoma State bounces back. But Kansas State's put up like 30 and 40 points at times this year. So I think this is going to be a back and forth game. Could be going on the road after a loss. This is an interesting game. I'm staying away from it, but I wouldn't mind looking at Kansas State here.
I look at the spread and say, I think they're baiting you into Kansas State. That's the way I feel. I mean, it's at 11.5 now. I think they want you to take the 11.5. I'm not going to touch it, Joe. I think this is a spot where both teams really need a bounce back, and Kansas State's probably overlooking West Virginia last week, which is why, you know, they got shellacked. And I think Oklahoma State's coming off that emotional loss, and they're on the road at K-State. They have Oklahoma on the road next week. So double back to, you know, or sorry, in 2 weeks. So, you know, they are going to be maybe ready looking at Oklahoma, you know, off the bye. And I don't know. This is a game I'm going to stay away from, but I think this is an important one to watch to figure out what Oklahoma State is the remainder of the Big 12. 4-1 now, 3-1 in the Big 12. K-State is 4-1 in the Big 12. So Oklahoma State really needs this victory if they want to win the Big 12 this year. Big game for them, really.
Okay, 4 o'clock. Pittsburgh goes to Florida State. Ugh. See, I'm not back in Florida State. Sorry, they're favorite, dude.
I know. I don't know what to think of this one, man. I really don't. I mean, the sharps are going to be on Florida State, and I get it. We don't know what Kenny Pickett's status is going to be for Pittsburgh, and you know, Pittsburgh was so bad last week versus Notre Dame. 3 points. I mean, they got, well, whatever it was, a couple weeks ago. They just got decimated. But the problem is Florida State last time out loses 48-16. I know they're coming off the bye. I don't know. This is a game that it feels like it's going to be one-sided probably for one team. I just don't know which side that is. So I'm going to stay away from it.
Western Kentucky travels to Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic's been putting up points. The only thing I'll tell you about Western Kentucky is they moved the ball against BYU late. I know it was garbage time. They have the Maryland transfer quarterback there.
Tyrell Pickrell.
So I hate him. They moved the ball well. I don't know. I'll stay away from this one, but just I watched Western Kentucky. They're not good. So they're just not good.
Okay, so this is the game that confuses me the most, honestly. The entire slate in the NFL, college football, this is the game that confuses me the most. Florida Atlantic open is a 10-point favorite, okay? To me, that's what I think they should be. I have them at 12-ish in that range. They're now 6.5, Joe. And I'm worried that there is a COVID situation going on with Florida Atlantic, which is why I'm not PPing them. I'm going to wait till Saturday on this one. I love Florida Atlantic. Love them in this spot. They dominated UTSA last week. They're going to dominate this Western Kentucky team, assuming their quarterback is playing, their defense is healthy. Their defense gave up 3 points to UTSA, 20 to Marshall, and 17 to Charlotte, okay? They have not allowed over 20 points this year. Meanwhile, Western Kentucky needed a field goal to beat fucking Chattanooga 2 weeks ago. Let's not forget that fucking Chattanooga game. 13-10, they needed a field goal in the dying seconds to beat Chattanooga. They were fine versus BYU against the fourth stringers and whatever, and that's all fine and dandy, but Florida Atlantic should fucking ruin this team. And everyone's on Western Kentucky. I don't understand it. I need to figure out what is going on there. So I'm not going to PP it, but by God, I'm waiting to figure out what is going on. The Sharps are on Western Kentucky. The public's on Western Kentucky. Fuck, something must have happened with Florida Atlantic because they are – it's just going the other way on them. And maybe I'm an idiot. That's easy as that, too. So.
Pac-12 again, Colorado hosts UCLA. UCLA's program's on the rise, definitely, with Chip Kelly. Colorado loses Montez. They faded big time last year. They lose Chenault as well. 6.5-point dogs, they just don't know much, Dan. That's really all I got for you at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well,
and
we'll
take a look. The quarterback from UCLA, what's his name there? The three KGB or whatever the hell his name is.
You're talking about Dorian Thompson Robinson, right? Yeah. Okay, so
he has to be better.
He was not consistent last year. We're going to find out more about these two teams. Let's
UCLA won this game 31-14 a year ago in November.
Yeah, let's move on from this game. We're going to give most of the Pac-12 a pass this week.
Yeah.
And really open it up next week. I can give you a little bit on the Oregon State game, though, if you want on that. But other than that, I mean, I think this is going to be a week that you want to bypass most of the Pac-12 unless you really do a good angle.
While we're at it, Oregon, Stanford, it's a big game. I just got nothing. Two new quarterbacks, really. I think Stanford brings back theirs. But Baylor, Iowa State's a big one. Right now, Iowa State's giving 14 to Baylor. And Baylor won this game 23-21, if you remember, a year ago. I don't know what's going on with Baylor right now. Brewer hasn't been great.
I told you that. Remember we talked about them early in the year, and I told you I think that they were going to be really down this year. They lost a lot of bodies, and I just don't know how good they are. That being said, they probably cover 14 against this team, right? I mean, I think Iowa State is going to be a little prepared, a little busy. Next week, home versus Kansas State, a week after Texas and West Virginia. Coming off that shellacking of fucking Kansas. I mean, I don't know. I think Baylor might catch him, backdoor it or some shit. I'm not touching it.
I agree with you. And then Texas A&M, South Carolina. South Carolina's 2. A&M's coming along. Kellerman's playing better, They're giving 10 to South. We know South Carolina plays well at home. 3-1 against 3-1-1 against the spread this year. But I think the way Texas A&M's playing right now, man, they're kind of hard to not fade at this point. Or to fade at this point.
Yeah, I mean, who thought that Texas A&M would be a top 10 team?
Yeah, top 7, I know.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, the win versus Arkansas last week or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was very impressive. I mean, really. Really was, and South Carolina looked like dog shit versus LSU last time out. I think this is a game where this is not the spot to fade Texas A&M. I just don't think it is. South Carolina defensively just is nothing to write home about. And I know they had a big win versus Auburn a couple weeks ago, but, you know, not that Texas A&M is great, you know, resume or anything, but they have a win against Florida. And I don't know. Right now, I think you just kind of pass on South Carolina. They're really nothing special, really.
Rutgers, Ohio State, 37.5. That's a lot, man. I don't know, man. Especially off that win last week. I don't know, man. I might back Rutgers here at 38 if I can get it.
I'm telling you, though, there's going to be a lot of people on Rutgers this week. A lot of people on Rutgers. And I don't know. I think I'm going to stay away from this game.
I think Rutgers covered last, what was last year? Yeah, 56-21, but I think they covered. It's 35. Yeah, they covered last year.
Yep. Yeah, they did. I'm still not touching it.
All right, cool. Moving on. The 7:30 game that we're all going to get into is Clemson Notre Dame, but real quick, Tennessee Arkansas. The way Arkansas has been playing, I know they lost last week, but like they've been covered with 5-0 against the spread this year. 5-0 against the spread. Tennessee goes on the road. They're 1-3-1 this year. Just Arkansas at home is getting 2 points. Is this a fade spot for Arkansas after they're actually losing to Texas A&M?
Yeah, I think this is a massive fade spot for Arkansas. They're on the road at Florida next week. This is a look ahead spot for them. Tennessee, this is a good bounce back spot. Now, again, they have to look ahead to Texas A&M next week. So the problem is that Tennessee kind of fucking needs this win. Arkansas's already overachieved this year, surprisingly enough. So, you know, they might go for the home run and try and, you know, upset a Florida team at Florida next week. I don't really know. I do think that this is going to be super sharp, right? This is going to be square versus sharp. Squares are going to be on Arkansas. Sharps going to be on Tennessee. By the way, Nevada is yucky. Not things
that
go
wrong. Let it go. Let it go.
I'm just saying. So I think this is going to be sharp for a square. I would lean Tennessee. I really do think that this is going to be a pretty good sharp spot for Tennessee. Even on the road, they're just a better team than Arkansas, too. Like, Arkansas is really nice at the beginning of the year, but it's you know, I don't know. I'm not a huge Razorbacks fan this year.
Okay. What do you have the Notre Dame-Clemson line at right now?
Let me pull up the most recent line.
It opened at 7.5.
It is now 5.
Give me Notre Dame +5. BP.
Really? Okay. BP for Joe. I really have no idea what to think about this one.
All right. So, listen, the normal thing is you fade Notre Dame, right? You just fade Notre Dame in any big game, any big situation. That's what you do. That's what you do. BC played well. They should have won that game. They should have won the game.
Agreed.
Now, does Ian Book and Notre Dame win that game? Maybe.
Oh, better, yeah. Better easily. No, easily. They win that game running right, away.
Better. I think, Dan, I've said this to you a couple of times. I don't think Ian Book's been great. I don't think the Notre Dame offense has been good. Now, yes, they put up 35 points. It's their defense. Their defense has bailed them out all year long. It's their defense that's been great this year. Now, I know they have put up 35. They put up 40. They've done all that. I get it. It's just Ian Book hasn't been right. He's been inconsistent. It's the defense that their running game and their defense is very, very good. It's very good. They're so well coached. I'm going Notre Dame this week. I know, Dan, I feel like everyone's going to be on Clemson. And I think the kid DJ played well. He really did. He did. Back-to-back road games you didn't cover a week ago. Your favorite again on the road against Notre Dame without your star quarterback. I know he's had a week to prepare. So that's going to be something different. I like Notre Dame. Am I going to call an upset? Just give me 5 points.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Notre Dame has an elite defense, and Clemson, no Trevor Lawrence. I mean, really, it breaks down to that, right? If you're the ACC, Joe, if you're the ACC, who do you want winning this game?
I mean, I think you want Clemson because that's been your representative.
I don't.
Because you know, but Notre, to your point, though, Notre Dame wins this, it's like, all right, hey, why don't you guys stay in our conference? You know what I mean? So,
well, not only that, but then you could say, well, hey, power, hey, Mr. Executive, hey, Mr. Committee, Clemson lost to Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence and put in a respectable performance. Isn't that better than 15 and, you know, whatever, 14-0 Coastal Carolina? Like, you can make the argument that two ACC teams should now be in the playoffs, assuming that Notre Dame beats North Carolina and wins out the remaining schedule, right?
I mean, you know, this would be the matchup, right? 1-4, 2-3, you know what I mean? So,
right. You know, they're on the road at BC, then they have a bye, and then they face UNC, Syracuse, and Wake. So, I mean, to me, this is it. To me, this is easy. I think that you're going to want I think you're absolutely going to want Notre Dame to win this game, because you can make the argument that the two ACC teams should be in the championship.
I like it. I don't think this is the best Notre Dame team of all time or anything like that. And I think Book, you know, he Ian Book should be a pro prospect, right? He hasn't played like it. He just hasn't. He has a chance, dude. He's got a chance to do it at home this week against Clemson. And I think that defense is a chance to shut down that running game and make a statement. I'm going Notre Dame this week, and I've never been more confident than I have. Don't get me wrong, right? Notre Dame's been the team that you back them finally, and they fucking fall on their face.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this is Notre Dame. This is a Notre Dame spot. The Sharps agreed to open at 7.5. They bet it down to 4. Sorry, bet it down to 5. Clemson's getting 60% of the bet, 66% of the money. They're starting a backup quarterback. This is a no-brainer. Backup quarterback who struggled to score offensively versus a BC team versus a Notre Dame elite defense. Now, I understand that, you know, Ian Book is not some more, you know, elite quarterback, but they'll move the ball against that Clemson defense if Clemson plays like that again. I mean, Clemson defense was horrendous last week. Yeah. Being said, like, finish the fucking ball. Finish the fucking offense and score. Hold the ball. Do whatever you need to so that your defense is on the field all game. Like, be a better offense if you're Clemson. Be smarter. Use your time. Waste the clock. Whatever you got to do. But, like, you know, Notre Dame should be able to move the ball defensively. I think Clemson will struggle a little bit. Look at the total. It's 51. Like, they're not expecting this to be a high-flying game. And I think that, you know, the low total, that favors Notre Dame by far.
Okay. Moving along here. Just Coastal Carolina. I think they win. I think they improved to 7-0, 18 points. I mean, South Alabama early on was a play. I like Coastal Carolina. They actually last year, Southern Alabama won this matchup 2 years ago. Sorry.
Really? Yeah. I mean, of course, laying 18. I mean, this team is a fucking wagon.
I'm not going to bet it. I'm not going to bet 18, but I love them.
Yeah, I love them. Touchdown Utah State. I mean, listen, Coastal's a wagon, man. I would lay the points with Coastal. I would lay the points with Coastal. I Ooh, would.
He likes him. He likes him.
I'm not betting it. Just saying, I'll lay the point. Lay the points there. Okay. We missed Stanford, Oregon.
Yeah, we just got because of Big 12. That's why.
Right. Yeah, we missed Stanford, Oregon. I think we can revisit this game on Saturday. How about that?
Yep. And then there's only really two other games. You mentioned Oregon State, Washington State, and then Hawaii. I have a breakdown on Hawaii, but you had anything? You said you had something on Oregon State.
Yeah, so I think that the program for Oregon State is – Oregon State's going to be the sharp side in this one. I know that Washington State Open is the favorite. You're going to see a ton of money pouring in on Oregon State. They're very hyped this year compared to where they have been in the past. Washington State starting a true freshman at quarterback. Jaden DeLaura is their quarterback this year. Obviously, new coach, new system, new stuff going on. It's going to be very tough for Washington State early on. I would avoid this. I do think Oregon State's getting a little hype, and I understand the situational spot. New coach, new quarterback, redshirt freshman quarterback for Washington State. And Oregon State's getting a lot of love for a team that's just not that good.
All right, and then the course of the degenerate special there. All right. So Hawaii loses last week against Wyoming. Was good on defensively, but Hawaii. Cordero, I think, is a good quarterback, but they bring in another QB that can like run an option, and I think they're better off with him early on, in games in particular. And I forget his name, but they lost that receiving core from last year.
Is it Akina? Is that it?
No. He's number 7. But I want to give the Hawaii defense some credit. I thought Wyoming should have kicked their ass. Like, legitimately destroyed them.
I think they did.
No, I agree. I just think that the Hawaii defense held them to field goals or three and outs instead of, you know, scoring. So I think the Hawaii defense is better this year. I do. It's their offense that's definitely taking a step back. Cordero's good. They should, being at home against New Mexico, they should win. But I just be cautious. This isn't your same Hawaii team as usual.
I think that New Mexico sucks, dude. I mean, they're terrible. Again, this is kind of how I'm telling you why, like, I think people are not taking some of the Mountain West teams too seriously or not seriously enough. Hawaii's going to kick the shit out of this team. They are. They're going to win this game by 21-30 going away.
I hope so. They couldn't do shit last week.
Chevron Cordero should be good this week. They should kick the shit out of this team. They should. They absolutely should.
Okay. I'm glad we're not we're going to get into the NFL now, because I think that's it, right? No more.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. We are done. Yeah, so we're going to take a 30-second break and then do a 10-second break.
And before that break, I just thank you, everybody, for listening. We've had over 100 people. We've missed what's happened in the world. And it's probably a good thing.
Joe and I are not politics guys. There's a reason that I didn't give out politics plays in my states. There's a reason that we don't really discuss it.
I'm just ignorant to it. I hate politics, and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't. It's not my thing. I'm out. I'm out.
Okay, now that's
it's like shit. On my list. Politics, religion, it's on my list.
Yeah, I just listen. I think I can speak for Joe here when I say that. Regardless of who you voted for, I don't really care or think of you any differently. So, I mean, I don't know. I have friends on both sides and whatever. Yes, there's a lot going on and people have their own thoughts and whatever. And I think everyone's entitled to their own opinions. And if everyone thinks the same fucking thing, then that kind of sucks. So, anyways, what's we're not going to talk politics. I know that there's Joe. I don't know about you. I got hundreds of DMs asking for people for politics plays. I told them all no. I'm not doing it. But listen, if it comes to like, you know, vice presidential selections or some shit, sure. But when it comes to presidential stuff, I stay away.
Cool. All right, we got the NFL coming up next here on the DraftKings Over Under Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardcore Baseball Talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Alrighty, we'll kick it off on Sunday when Detroit travels to Minnesota. Minnesota off a big win against Green Bay. Impressive. They're 0-3 at home this year, Dan. Detroit's getting 3 points. They're 3-1 on the road. So I'll say this. I think Minnesota needs this win on the road. They need it. And they haven't been good. And, you know, Dalvin Cook's been up and down, of course. But, you know, I wanted to give you some trends on this one. And we know about the old Kirk Cousins, you know, playing at 1 o'clock. The Vikings have been very good in the red zone this year, whenever they finally get there. And they lead the league in yards per play at home. The Lions have struggled as an underdog in the last 14 games, 4-10. And against divisional opponents, they're 0-8 straight up. But the Vikings, dude, they're 4-1 against the spread the last five games. They're full-point favorites this weekend. Who you got?
Well, Matt Stafford did not test positive for COVID, but they basically are going to be, he's out for 5 days. The rumor on the street is that he is going to start. He's not going to be able to practice, game plan, do anything. That is a significant disadvantage to Detroit. I think we saw that coming in the Chicago game for the Patriots. So I think that is an issue. What I will say is, to me, in my opinion, I think that Minnesota is the side here. I continuously see that everyone's going to love Detroit. I think everyone's going to be on Detroit because of the 4 points, whatever. They're going to want to take the 4 points and be attracted to the 4 points to get on the road. I think we saw what Detroit is really last week, right? They faced the Colts. They should have lost the week before at Atlanta. And then we're talking about a totally different team. They have one nice win on the road at the Cardinals. Other than that, they've been dog shit all year. I'm not trying to get cute here. Minnesota's coming off a big win. They're starting to play better, I think. The Seahawks game a couple weeks ago was really good. The Falcons game was just a shock. I mean, they got dominant in that game. But two out of the last 3 weeks, I think they've been very, very good. And I think that they'll continue to get better. I have them beating, I have them covering against Detroit.
All right, moving on to the next game. How about Denver, Atlanta? We talked about Atlanta winning and covering last week. They're 4-point favorites at home. Denver with an incredible comeback last week. Let's say what it was. They were dead. And they made a huge comeback last week. These teams ranked 6th and 8th in third down conversions. Denver's one of the worst in the league. The Broncos are 7-2 against their spread in the last 9 games on the road. They've been a very good road team. Falcons have not been good as home favorites, 0-4. And, dude, when they play the AFC, they're 1-14 against the spread in their last 15 games.
This game is crazy, dude. I mean, it truly is. I think if you wanted a matchup, I think that this is one of the best matchups that you can get. To me, in terms of for shitty teams, like Atlanta's 2-6, but they should really be 3-5 or 4-4. And I think that's probably why you're seeing reflected in the spread there. I think Denver's a pretty decent team. That was a really nice win last week. I just think coming off that win, they might be a little emotionally drained. I think it's possible that Atlanta wins this game going away. I'm going to stay away from this one, but yeah.
Houston plays Jacksonville. Jake Luton, remember him from Oregon State?
Yes, I do.
Houston, 1-6 on the year, 2 1-6 teams. Houston has to win this game. They have to. Now, Jake Luton, this is a chance for him. I think he's big and slow, Dan. I think this is a bad matchup against that pass rush. Do you want to know one thing about the Texans I found out? Fade them in the first. They're 1-6 against the spread in the first half this year.
Interesting.
And they're always coming from behind. Their last 8 games overall, Dan, they're 1-7 straight up and against the spread. But the Jags, though, 0-5 against the spread the last 5 games this year.
Here's my thing about the Jaguars. They struggle versus everyone except for their divisional opponents. Like, I mean, really. 27-20 win against the Colts to open the season. Lose to Tennessee on the road 33-30. They got shellacked in Houston earlier in the season. But Lutton is bad. Lutton is really bad. And Jacksonville's play has really trailed off the last few weeks. Again, they are coming off the bye, which helps them a little bit. I don't know. This is a game I'm probably avoiding, but I do think that this is Houston or nothing. Let's not try and get cute and take Jake Lutton. Jake Lutton here. You know, it's Houston or nothing.
Carolina goes to the Chiefs. Every single betting category or trend leans towards the Chiefs and just what they've done recently. And we saw Carolina last week, but they might get Christian McCaffrey back.
We can almost say for sure he's coming back.
Okay. Really, it just comes down to the number here. We know about Teddy Bridgewater and his number against the spread. The Chiefs are, the Panthers are 3-13 straight up their last 16 games overall. They're 4-0 though. Their last four games as a straight up underdog.
Yeah. Listen, Carolina is, I've got another team that I think I was incorrect on coming into the season. Matt Rhule has done a really good job with this team. That being said, they were not good last week. They have had a long week. Probably did a little look ahead from Atlanta to the Chiefs. And, you know, they have Tampa next week too. So that really would not surprise me if they were on the look ahead spot last week. I think Kansas City against Chris Jones now on the reserve COVID list. He's going to miss the game. McCaffrey looks like he's going to play. Carolina should be getting some of their better players back. They should be healthier. I don't know. Let me get back to you on this one on Saturday. I like Carolina here, but I can't do it right now.
Okay. Seattle, Buffalo. Everyone's talking about this one. I mean, I think Seattle's going to be able to throw. I think both teams are really going to be able to throw on each other. But, dude, the Seahawks are 10-0 straight up, 8-1-1 their last 10 games just on the East Coast. The Bills are 0-4 against the spread in their last four games. They didn't cover last week. They're 2-9 straight up as a home underdog. Like, every trend fades the Bills. Everything likes. The Seahawks are 10-2 in their last 12 games as a road favorite. I know the spread's odd, but I like the Seahawks this week. I think Buffalo is not good.
This pains me. I like Buffalo. Seattle, they should be able to run the ball, but they may not have Chris Carson. And, you know, they'll move the ball, but Buffalo should be close. I think this is going to be a really close game. It probably comes down to one of the last plays of the game, kind of like the Patriots game did. And last drive, last play, whatever. Josh Allen should have success against this defense. They should be able to run the ball against the Bills defense. Bills just have a terrible run defense. It is what it is. Like, if you want to beat the Bills, have a good running back and a mobile quarterback, and you're going to win. So if Carson's in this game, I think that changes things. I just think this is probably a pretty good spot for Buffalo, even though they're coming off that pretty emotional victory against Patriots. I don't know. I don't want to back Seattle here. They're coming off a division win, traveling to Buffalo here. It's not a great spot for either one of these teams. I kind of think that Buffalo's the side. Kind of.
Okay. Tennessee hosts Chicago. There's two trends that stand out to me. One.
Touchdown the bottom, by the way.
Nice. That, dude, they had a 1st and 30, by the way.
I saw they converted it.
Both quarterbacks look very good in that game, by the way. One running, one throwing. Anyways, what was I? Titans are 1-5 against their spread the last six games as a favorite. They're giving 5.5. On the other end, Dan, the Bears did cover last week, but they're 1-6 against their spread after an against the spread win.
Yeah, I mean, we were on the Bears last week, and that was a nice victory for us.
Oh, we filled that out. Like, we've seen that before, right?
Yep.
We've seen that game before.
Yep. So I'm gonna go back to the drawing board and TP. Give me Tennessee -6.5. maybe I'm being a little too cute here. I just think that spread and this spot for Tennessee is really good. You know, they're coming off a loss to Cincinnati that is just bad. And they, you know, I really think that this is a good rebound spot for them. Chicago is coming off a really tough loss. And I think that they are going to, you know, have a really tough time, you know, kind of continuing to be an elite defensive. They're going to need to score against Tennessee. And They're gonna have to convert on third downs, which Tennessee's been horrible against this year. I just don't think this is an offensive line you can overpower and dominate like the Saints were. And I think you have a quarterback who's playing at a much higher level than Breeze. You actually have offensive weapons who can go down the field. Corey Davis played very well this year. AJ Brown's played very well this year. You have a running back who fucking pounds you and breaks you down. This is just not a team that I want to face coming off a bad loss. And I think Chicago has played, a good loss last week, for lack of a better word. And I think that you're going to start seeing them start trending downward. And this is kind of the start of that. So I'm taking this.
So I respect you for taking that pick. I need to see another week at Tennessee. Like I think Chicago is like, really, they're under it, man. They're under it. And I think Tennessee losing two in a row now, we need to see which team's going to come out of this one. Like,
yeah, but they were really good in that Pittsburgh game. I mean, Pittsburgh, yeah, again, another win last week.
Dude, if there was another 3 minutes in that game, Pittsburgh's losing. Like,
right, exactly. So that's why I'm not too concerned. I look at that loss and say, you know what, that's a close game against a really good Pittsburgh team. I'm not going to knock them for that. Last week, they were terrible. I just think this is a bounce-back spot for them. A good team gets back on the horse and then probably a little bit of an overrated team, kind of regresses a little bit. So I think it's a good spot for Tennessee.
Giants in Washington. The Giants are a struggle on the road. 1-9 in their last 10 games straight up. But check this out. They're 7-0 against the spread their last 7 games. 4 of those, 4-0 against the division. They also play very well in cover against teams with losing records, where Washington is 2-11 in their last 13 against divisional opponents. And the under has gone under, the total has gone under in 6 of the last 8 in this matchup.
Totals at 42.5 this week. This is a weird game. This is a angry divisional game filled with two teams that absolutely suck. Gibson's going to have to get back to running the ball. The Giants on a short week too. I mean, that's the other thing is like, they're coming off a short week where they played very, very well early on. And obviously Tampa Bay came back, but they were impressive. Washington, listen, this Washington team is still pretty good, for 2-5 and being in that division. They crapped on the Cowboys. I know they lost to the Giants a couple weeks ago straight up, but, Ron Rivera went for 2 and then missed it. I think we're going to see another super close game. I'm going to stay away.
Okay, moving along here to the 4 o'clock games.
Nope, we missed one more 1 o'clock.
Sorry, Ravens. Sorry, I apologize. Interesting line here, just off the bat.
Yep.
Both teams are 5-2. Colts are getting 1.5 at home. I saw 2.5 Baltimore all week long, so maybe my line's not right.
Nope, it is right.
Only thing I'll tell you here, 1-3-0 at home, 1-3-0 on the road. Baltimore, that was a tough loss last week. That was Lamar Jackson. He's a fucking problem for them. I'm sorry. He's a great player, but he's a problem. Here's what I'll give you. Ravens on the road with Lamar Jackson are outstanding. 9-0 straight up with him. 6-1-1 against the spread. That's awesome. They're 11-1. I know these don't matter, but when they play these early games, Dan, they're 11-1 straight up. Their only loss was last week. But the Colts at the same time are 14-3 in their last 7 at home. But when they are underdogs, Dan, and we saw this in the opening game, not so much against the Jags, but they're 0-5 against the spread, their last 5 as home underdogs. Check this last one out. The Ravens are 1-10, their last 11 versus the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a Colts-dominated series. That being said, I mean, the history of these two teams is somewhat irrelevant. I would say probably mostly irrelevant at this point. But this is remember we talked about last week West Virginia being the sharp side, the weird side, the side that everyone's going to play and, the public's going to be on the other side and they're going to get their asses kicked. This feels very similar to me. Like, this feels like this has the same kind of feel for me. Like, it's Colts or nothing. If you take the Ravens, it's a weird spot. You're going to end up losing. I think the Ravens got really beat up last week in that Steelers game, and they that was almost a They should have won that fucking game. They should have won that game. They should have won it. They should have won it going away. And losing is brutal. So, yeah, I think this is a Colts or nothing spot, and the whole world is on them.
Okay. I'm staying away from that game. I'm not touching that one.
Neither am I. That's why I'm not touching.
Another game I'm not touching is Chargers Vegas. I liked Vegas last week. I loved Vegas last week. Can't do it this week. I can't do it. Chargers are at home. They need a win. Kit Herbert's played well. Vegas is 4-3, sneaky team that wins this week. They're 5-3 and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I like the Chargers this week. I know it's cute and I'm trying to be too whatever, but I like the Chargers this week. Coming off a loss, they should have won that game in Denver. I think they rebound this week. The Raiders played a really good defensive game, but you know, they're not going to get that. You're not going to hold the Chargers to 6 points this week. You're going to have to score the football. You're not going to be able to live on 20 or 16 points this week. And you know, unfortunately, after that Chiefs loss, that's pretty much what they've been held to, 20-16. Another back-to-back roadie. I like LA here. I like LA here.
Raiders are 2-9 in their last 11 versus their own division on the road. Woof. But yep. Check this out. The Chargers, 1-7 their last 8 versus divisional opponents.
Nah, yuck.
But only thing I can give you here, and you again, it doesn't matter, right? Teams haven't played in a while. The Raiders are 8-3 in their last 11 on the road versus the Chargers in general.
It's gross.
But, you know, Herbert wasn't playing then, and who knows if Carr was during those times either. I don't know. I like historical shit. You want to know it? I'm giving it to you.
Yep.
How about Miami, Arizona? I'm a little torn on this one. I liked what Arizona did. They had that win. Was it Seattle? Yeah, Seattle, comeback win on that one. Dolphins win last week. I was surprised by that win, actually, because all week long everybody was on Miami. Everybody, and it hit great. And maybe it says something more about the Rams and the Dolphins. Now Tua's going on the road against a defense that's hurt. Listen, Arizona, you know they play tough, but they've lost so many guys, dude. But I don't know, man. 4.5 to me. I don't love this spot or the line at all for Arizona. I just 2 on his first road game. It's something I think you have to consider when it comes to betting here. And I just wanted to throw this out there. Miami in general, in their last 9 games, is 7-2 against the spread. The Cardinals, as a home favorite, in their last 5 games is 1-4.
Yeah, listen, Tua last week was very hidden. Miami was able to run the ball. They got a lot of big defensive contributions, and that helped them win the game against the Rams. Not going to happen this week. It's just not. Kyler Murray's going to score points. That's what Arizona does. Their defense will give up some points, but they're going to have to score points. Tua's going to have to air the ball out, and that means mistakes. Things are going to happen. Turnovers. You know, let's not get too cute here. Let's take the favorite. I'm not going to PP it, but something I'm looking at for Saturday. I very much like Arizona in the spot. Coming out, they're playing some of their best football right now. 3 wins in a row, 3 dominating wins in a row. Maybe the Seattle game, not dominating, but really, I mean, they deserve to win that game. I thought they were the better team the entire game. I thought they should have won by more. I think that Miami is played very well defensively, but They're going to score. So Miami is going to have to score with a rookie quarterback.
They've been good though. They're well coached. They might be one of the better programs in football right now. Like programs, like what's going on there. Flores got some good things going on there. Touchdown. Nope. Pittsburgh, Dallas, dude. Just let me just throw some facts at you. We don't know who the quarterback is. I'd go Garrett Gilbert. That's who I'd go with. I know Cooper Rush knows the offense a little bit, but I just think Garrett Gilbert is an NFL quarterback. I just think he is. Steelers are 5-0 in their last 5 games against the spread. They're 7-0 straight up in their last 7. I'll give you a couple more here. The Cowboys are 0-8 against spread just this year. It's bad. Whenever they play a team with a winning record at home, they're 1-6 against the spread. Another thing that I noticed here, the total has gone over in 5 of the Cowboys' last 6 games at home. But the Steelers on the road play unders. It's big, like 13 of the last 17. 14 points, dude, in the NFL.
That's called the Big Ben road theory. He's not good on the road.
I agree with you. That's an under theory. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yep.
It's a double digit team on the road. I took the Chiefs last week. Right now, the Steelers are the best team in football. I think they should cover 14, Dan. I do. As the best team in football, they should cover 14. Problem is, I'm not buying that.
Agree. I'm not laying it. No chance. Not doing it. I just said it. It's a team that is coming off a massive emotional victory, massive. And it almost feels like the Giants line and the Tampa line of a couple days ago. That's all I would compare it to. I'm not touching Pittsburgh. Nope, not doing it. I think people are going to get burned on the Steelers this week, or they'll get cold.
Okay, in the last 2 games this week, you're not going to like me. You know where I'm at, right, on these 2?
Of course, yeah. I know where
I'm at. I'm on Tampa Bay and I'm on New England. It's as easy as that, and I'm not being square. I think Tampa Bay is going to own their home field this year. 3-0 at home. New Orleans is beat up this week.
Yep.
I just think this is a payback game from the opening week. Now, Tampa Bay, both teams didn't cover last week. So I see 4.5 right now. I saw 5.5 at some places.
Yeah, it's 4.5 now.
Okay, it's 4.5. So to me, I just think this is a Tampa Bay win. Whether it's, you know, I don't think it's a blowout or anything like that, but I think Tampa Bay wins.
Yeah, I know. I do agree with that. I don't. Again, I'm going to keep repeating. Let's not get too cute. Take the better team, divisional game. I know it's weird, but at home, divisional game, yeah, give me Brady and the Bucs. They're playing some of their best football. And the only thing I hope is that Brady doesn't get locked into Antonio Brown. Now, it is a short week,
yeah,
and he has the Antonio Brown factor, and that worries me a little bit, which is why I'm not going to PP it. But I think that Tampa should roll the Saints. I think the Saints are the most overrated 5-2 team in football, and I think they probably shouldn't have won against the Bears or the Panthers the last few weeks, or the Chargers. I mean, well, they have 3 wins in a row that they've won by 3 points each, and I don't think I think the back end of their schedule is going
to
be rough.
Just to throw some things out there for some people, the Saints are 9-1 against the spread, 8-2 in their last 10 on the road. As a road underdog, they're 6-1 against the spread. Against divisional opponents, they're 6-0 straight up. So, like, there's a lot of trends that back, even against the Bucs, they're 4-0 against the spread and straight up. Like, all those trends lean towards. This is a pure fade for me. I just think this week is a good situation for Tampa Bay. The Antonio Brown thing, I think, is a positive for the Bucs. Dan?
I don't at all.
No, here's the deal. Let me just add.
Okay, go ahead.
With the Patriots, right, it didn't work out. It didn't work. It could have. It fucking failed. I don't think it's going to happen here. The only thing I will think it's going to screw up is Godwin. He's going to ruin
It failed here because the media guys chased him out of town. I mean, legitimately, I feel very confident in saying the entire New England media was against him from the start.
Oh, I agree. But what I'm trying to say here is, this isn't about second chances or any of that bullshit. Fuck all that. This guy's a good football player. He's going to help that football team.
Yeah, it's going to be a fucking mess in that locker room with that coach. Maybe, it didn't work with Tomlin, and it didn't work with Belichick.
You know what,
not going to work with that guy.
We can revisit it week to week. This is something we can do week to week.
That's fine.
The way the world is right now, that motherfucker can't fuck up, right? I mean, he could. Who knows? He could go out. He could get caught. Whatever. I just think the way the situation is for this guy right now, it's the only chance he has left. It's the best chance for him to have a ring, and I think he's going to be good for that team.
I'll say, I hope you're right. I want them to do well this year.
There's nothing I want to see more than that blow up. Trust
that,
me.
That dude is a problem.
I there's nothing I want to see more. By the way, I'm not PPing the Tampa Bay game just yet. Just
Saturday.
Yet. And the other game is the Patriots. So it's weird. I cover the games this year. So like I'm like taking notes, Dan. It's fucking weird. Okay. You can ask Jim Murray this question. You can ask him, and it's a truthful stat. When the drive happened, I tweeted out, "I fear a turnover." And then on the second down, he's holding the ball like a loaf of bread. They get the first down, and I'm like, all right, they need to take a shot at the end zone. If he runs it again, he could fumble the way he's been holding the ball. Dude, sure as shit, he fumbled the fucking football. And I'm not like a, you know, fucking magic ball, eight ball or whatever. He doesn't hold the ball well. I mean, he's a pro. And I was worried to give the ball to Damian Harris, who's been great, right? I thought Burkhead should be getting the ball there. I thought on that second or third down, they should have taken a shot at the end zone. Why not? Right? Why not? And again, a lot of people don't have a problem with the play of Cam Newton, best player with the ball in his hand, whatever. He fumbled it. He fucking fumbled. I think Cam Newton's going to go off this week. I think he's going to have 3 to 5 touchdowns. I think he's going to run for 2. I think he's going to throw for a couple. He's going to have a massive week this year, and the Patriots are going to blow the Jets out.
Yeah, I mean.
And this is no homer take. This is just the Patriots are going to get some medicine against the Jets. That's all it is.
I want to end this podcast. I think we can talk more about this game on Saturday. I'm quickly going to say this. If the Patriots don't win this game, it will be devastatingly bad for everything in New England. I think they'll win the game. I just don't know how bright it is for them to if they don't win this game by a lot, it's going to be bad. That's all I'll say. How about that? If they don't win this game by a lot, it will be bad.
Okay. All right. That's it. We 5-5-3-8-10. 8-10 yep. Again.
Touchdown Nevada, by the way.
Hey. How about that?
14-9.
Hey, now. All right, Dan. This is a good week. And listen, thank you, everybody. I know there's a bunch of shit going on in the world. People hung in there with us. I don't even want to know what happened. I read a little bit of it on Twitter. I don't want to even know. I don't want to even know. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to eat some pizza. I'm going to watch football. And it's going to be fucking great.
I have the game on right now. I'm getting off Twitter and I'm watching the game.
I didn't give any PPs for NFL. Stay tuned Saturday. And again, if you don't like my trends, it's fine. You can fade them. I just want to just tell you, like, you know, just to give up that Tennessee Chicago line. There's nothing that favors anybody on those trends. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's, but that's why I'm throwing it out there. It's probably a game you shouldn't bet. But Dan thinks that, you know, they're going to bounce back. So we'll see. That's why they play the games. All right. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Saturday, 7 to 9, a big show this weekend. There's really no big college football games, like big games. You know what I mean?
Clemson, Notre Dame.
Yeah. But I think we'll be heavy NFL this weekend. I think we'll hammer that a little more. So, all right, for Dan Lifshatz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the Over Under 985 podcast.
Who you got? Have a good one, guys.
All right, I'll send this to you, Dan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.